It's showtime.
Bob Kincaid, 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go. We are off and running on yet another live broadcast because, well, if there's a broadcast on the horn at some point in time, Son of a Gun's will have been live. And this is no different. It's the 19th day of December, 2017. Yes, this is the horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is, in fact, where we live. And that, in fact, is where you go if you would like to be part of the Madcap Merry, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that is the Horn chat room. We don't have a tardy bell or anything, so folks are a little slow in this evening, but by God, Hoghead's already there, and I have a feeling Anatole will be coming back in a moment, and they'll be happy to greet you if you've never been there before. So wander on by, click on chat room, and pick yourself out a screen name and a password. It's all free. You know, those are you don't just get a free password everywhere, right? Yeah. I will note that, of course, you will be capably moderated therein by longtime, inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, although he is a space and guild master, has chosen to remain in his ordinary space and thus remain Sparky with the observation, it's too fucking cold outside. Yes. Oddly enough, it's not here. It is a toasty, lovely, wonderful 67 degrees Fahrenheit inside the fabulous and yet at the same time minuscule and tiny Horn Studios. And there's no propane burning. And, you know, ever since the sheriff's deputies and state troopers and everything showed up down the hill about a week or so ago, we haven't had any coal smoke for since then. God only knows why. I'm informed by Brother Deacon Asa that Head On Live is up and Tune In is running at only 8K. But it's at least running. Who knows? It's a mystery. It's a mystery. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. This is The Horn. And we are in the week before Christmas. 'Twas the week before Christmas and all through. Oh, no. Whatever. Yeah. And as is the case, most every evening, we have thanks to send out. This program is brought to you in part by Joseph in Ohio. Thank you, Joseph, one of the Horn Community subscribers. Also brought to you anonymously by someone else, and brought to you by Robert in Iowa. Thank you, Robert. And brought to you also by David in Ohio. So that's good news. That means that we have only $296 instead of $396 to raise this evening. So maybe we can get caught up, maybe even take a bite out of tonight's fundraising goal. If you would like to be part of what keeps the horn going, head on over to headonradionetwork.com, click on not chat room, click on Contribute, and put in whatever amount you'd like to help with. If you would like to become a subscriber, click that little box, too, that says make this a recurring monthly donation, or whatever it is it says, and you'll be part of the subscription crew. One of these days, I don't know, one of these days, maybe we'll actually get all the way up to the mathematical equivalent of 400 $10 a month subscribers, and there won't be any more of this kind of talking at the beginning of the program at all, ever. And wouldn't that just be fan-freaking-tastic? I think so. If you prefer the United States, if you prefer to help the program out via the United States Postal Service, Boss Man Wayne loves that, and you can do that by sending checks and money orders made payable to the Horn, not Bob Kincaid. I never see him. To the Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, Beckley, WV 25801. And for people who would like to be a subscriber but don't like PayPal, there's always, that's right, Patreon.com, P-A-T-R-E-O-N.com, Patreon.com/Bob Kincaid, and that makes it, they were in the process of making a horrible, horrible mistake recently and corrected themselves after there was a major revolt, so that they didn't change their fee structure. So that's cool. Subscriptions directly via PayPal come out every month on whatever day you made the subscription. At Patreon, they all come out on the first day of the month, no matter when you made the subscription. So, the way that works out is that if you were to subscribe to Patreon today, the 19th, nothing would happen until January 1st. And, you know, you're why we stay on the air. Between our subscribers and the people who contribute during the program or having heard the podcast, that's pretty much it. Because we don't have any advertisers, with the exception, well, goodness me, it's not entirely true. Because in this holiday season, as the light fades toward the solstice, we all need that extra bump of energy. We need whatever help we can get to get through the holidays and through the freezing cold winter months here in the Northern Hemisphere, or for our friends in the Southern Hemisphere, through the blazing days of summer, okay. And that's why the hardworking anodyne peripatetic scientists at Horn Labs are always at work on a new bullshit nutritional supplement. Yes, yes, yes. Consequently. I want to let you know about what? Yes. Lanky Lychee. Lanky Lychee from Horn Nutraceuticals will put it'll extend your stride and fill you with vim and vigor. And make wonderful things happen for you wherever you feel like you need wonderful things to happen. That's right, Lanky Lychee, only from Horn Nutraceuticals. Each and every day, the anodyne peripatetic scientists of Horn Nutraceuticals scour the planet for new fruits and vegetables, which they can then convert via the Horn's proprietary processes into another bullshit nutritional supplement that will do absolutely nothing for you, but do prove, by virtue of the fact that we have bullshit nutritional supplements, that we are a real broadcast operation. Lanky Lychee from Horn Nutraceuticals. You know, I've never cared much for lychee, But thanks to the hardworking anodyne peripatetic scientists at Horn Nutraceuticals, I can get all the lychee goodness that I need in a handful of little capsules, and you can too. And if you act now and order up a 3-month supply of lanky lychee from Horn Nutraceuticals, you too can receive a bundle of little meaningless test strips so that you can know at home what we already know at Horn Nutraceuticals, that lanky lychee is absolutely useless and worthless. And you can find that out for the low, low Horn Nutraceuticals price of only $111.13 for a 90-day supply. So get busy, run on over, order yourself a 90-day supply of lanky lychee, and then tell us about it on Twitter at Horn Labs, at Horn Labs on Twitter after you've tried your lanky lychee. Accept no substitutes, post no bills, use no hooks, this side up, COD, FOB, LYCHEE, lanky lychee. Well, you'll... No, it doesn't work that way, Earther. You cannot buy one and get 29 free. What do you think this is? Is some sort of charity? Huh. The nerve of some people. Brother Deacon Asa pointing out, I'd love to support the Horn by ordering some lanky lychee, but before I do so, I need to make sure that y'all take some lanky lychee at the Horn Mansion, too. We take it every day. My goodness gracious, we hardly have room for food anymore here at the Horn Mansion because we're taking so many Horn nutritional supplements. My goodness, I couldn't get behind the microphone and tell you about these magnificent miracle wonder bullshit supplements if I wasn't taking them. Now, could I? Of course I couldn't. Lanky lychee from Horn Nutraceuticals. Tell them you heard about it from good old Bob. And tell us about it on Twitter, at Horn Labs. Yeah, great, wonderful. So that should get us up and running on the program fairly well. At least we hope. Jesus, Arthur. No, Silent R. Lamar, not lanky stanky, lanky lychee. So give it a try. Okay, it is, of course, Titanic Tuesday on the Horn. And you may recall that we dedicate this day to manifestations of Titanic intellect as perpetrated by, you know, usually right-wingers. The name Titanic Tuesday goes back to something our buddy Jim heard once upon a time as he tuned in to right-wing radio in America's fifth smallest radio market and heard the morning monotone Steve stop reading the newspaper to his audience long enough to take a question from one of his mouth-breathing, knuckle-walking followers, who asked, Steve, how come it is there is seashells in the rocks in West Virginia? We ain't nowhere near the beach. I done seen them in the coal mines back when I was a hard mining coal worker. Mm-hmm. To which Steve replied, well, caller, that's because of the movement of the Titanic plates. Uh-huh. Still no word on the movement of the Titanic martini glasses, but well, I'll let you know if there ever is. So those moments of self-assured Titanic stupidity are the source of what we often focus on here on Titanic Tuesday on the Horn. And bearing that in mind, I'll note before we move into something else that I had planned for this evening, sometimes the goddess of irony is just too good to us. You know, of course, that the House Republicans passed their great big tax scam, the ripoff, the mother of all ripoffs today. Well, the news broke shortly before airtime that these Titanic intellects had fucked it up. Yes, yes, House Republicans, the bunch they're so stupid that they could fuck up a one-car parade. And they did. They're going to have to re-vote on the goddamn thing tomorrow before it can go to the Senate. It's a beautiful thing. But and we'll probably be talking about that and many other things, because I have with me at this very moment on the phone a dear, dear friend of long standing, and someone that I've been meaning to get on the air for ages and eons, and things just haven't quite synced up. You know her well from Mike Malloy, and you probably know her well from the work many of you do from the work that she does every week over at FYINation.com. That's right. I'm talking about the one, the only, except no substitutes. Pterodactyl, Tara Devlin. Goodness gracious, Tara! It has been entirely too long. Welcome to the Horn.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And I was just laughing listening to you talk about these idiot Republicans, you know, messing up their great big accomplishment to destroy the American democracy and usher in America aristocracy.
It makes you wonder, is Dr. Evil actually behind all of this?
Really, when you think about it, I was thinking this earlier too, as I was watching everything unfold, that how do you vote for things that you know are going to harm people? You know what I mean? I have a humane bug catcher in my house. You know what I mean? I feel bad for bugs. I can't even, you know, I have an ethical issue when I have to smash them.
Goddamn but liberal.
Yes, that's why I have this ethical, you know, bug catcher.
No, right? I understand. I usher spiders out of the studio.
You know, I mean, but how could you vote for something that's going to strip health care from millions of people? That's going to basically, I mean, what they're doing with Anwar as well is I don't understand how we are allowing them to get away with it. Because you're talking about the last 5% of the protected land. It's not that they aren't drilling there. They want it all, and this is what we always talk about. How much do they want?
They want it all. That's why we've got a bumper sticker here at the Horn. It's got a pig in a top hat with a dollar sign on it. It's proprietary design, and it just says they want it all.
Right. I mean, and they hate democracy. That's the other thing. They never liked it. And I feel like this, they're really, it's not just dragging us back to the Gilded Age. I mean, we're going right back to the Dark Ages, to the kind of system that the founders fought a revolution to escape. And, you know, where you had intergenerational aristocracy and all the rich ran and ruled, and you could go find a lord to serve, perhaps, and they might trickle some benefits on you. And you're on your own.
That's the problem. The entire history of Europe is a bunch of lords trickling things on the peasants,
right.
and they didn't much care for the trickling.
right, exactly, and they did it reluctantly as well. And we could go fight in their wars. That's about it. Or, you know, maybe you could drive an Uber now in the United States. But you know, there'll be no this thing called retirement. That's quaint. The education will be a providence of the rich, And if you get sick, maybe, have a GoFundMe page, it's such a disgrace. So I don't get how these people are human beings and how anybody ever votes for Republicans, frankly, because you got to be you're a dupe or I guess. I mean, even if you're rich, why would you want to be rich in a country like this?
Well, let's work on the shorter list, Tara. Is there anything in this Republican monstrosity that is actually good? Because I spend a lot of my time kicking furniture around here,
mm-hmm.
From exposure to the for-profit media, things like that. And I keep hearing some Democrats say, "Well, we probably did need to, reform the corporate tax rate."
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really, why? Because the last I checked, the goddamn stock market is flying on laughter silvered wings through the freaking roof. We don't seem to be stymieing business with the corporate tax rate where it is now.
Exactly, and as you know, a lot of corporations they pay zero taxes, so they know that people are stupid. So they talk about the tax rate is the highest in the world. It's not, by the way, but it's also the effective tax rate. People, the corporations don't pay it. A lot of corporations like Exxon get a subsidy. We actually pay them I pay more taxes than them. You pay more taxes than them. It's just, and so they're whining. What the hell are they whining about? They are, corporations are reaping record profits. So it's not like anybody's suffering. And they have like $2.7 trillion in offshore accounts because they're so patriotic, right? And if you just give them a little bit more, they'll repatriate this money and trickle jobs upon us. Or that's the line. But we know that what will happen is
But doesn't that run against every basic rule of economics this runs against the basic stuff they teach you in high school, or at least used
right.
to.
Right. Exactly.
Isn't the need to hire people predicated upon the need to produce whatever it is they produce that's based upon who's buying those things?
Exactly. And that's why it's such a ruse. So I think we need to really start talking about the fact that, they are well aware that of what they're doing. The income disparity, that is a feature, not a bug, in their policies. They want it that way. They want you nice and compliant and at their mercy. And well, you don't complain and, better luck next life. If maybe you'll get your reward in heaven when you're dead.
Or maybe you'll get lucky and come back and be a bug in Tara's house that doesn't just get squished.
Right, because I have to. This I feels go through an of, ethical dilemma when I see a bug.
Yeah, this is kind of squishy right now, and the thing, and there's so we can be at this for a very long time tonight, Tara, because how is it the corporate tax cuts get to be permanent, but Joe and Jane Schmuck?
Oh God, I know.
They're gonna get an ungreased fucking in about 2025 that they have no idea. Well, the polling data looks like maybe Joe and Jane Schmuck do know.
Mm-hmm. Well, they do. Republicans have managed to make a tax cut, so-called, unpopular. I think that it's good that people are catching on, but in the meantime, if we ever get this back, this is what I'm afraid of. It's that the damage will be so far done that it's going to be very difficult to get to restore it to what it was under New Deal policies and whatnot. The good news is that people seem to be catching on about Republicans. See, I do think that when they said that Trump is at a 33% approval or whatever, I'm like, what's wrong with that 33%? So there probably are.
It's like the old Maxwell House commercial. My dad, who had a wonderful sense of humor, used to watch the Maxwell House commercials, and they'd say, "Good to the last drop." And my dad always said, "What's wrong with the last drop?"
Right. That last drop. Right. I mean, well, maybe that last drop is, you know, kind of racist, really, you know?
I mean, look, the same, and the number was not lost on me, Tara, the same number of people heartily approve of this tax scam as heartily approve of Donald Trump.
Right. And I think that there are that base, which you're never going to persuade, but because they're racist. I mean, that's really the bottom line. Like, they are, and that makes them easily duped by anybody. I mean, they're watching Fox News. And I know because, you know, my father was a Reagan Democrat. And really, his problem was that he was racist. And he was the nicest guy on earth, all this other stuff, right? But, and he worked with black people and had black friends. But he would say things like, oh, you know, you're not getting any, because like, if I didn't get a grant at school or something, he'd say, oh, because your skin's not black. That's why. You know?
Yeah, and it's the casual variety.
Right, right. So but he didn't get that. I mean, by design, they keep people apart. And the fact is, you know, that's what I always thought was wrong with the Hillary's education plan and whatnot, is that it keeps people divided. It divides people into where you can get resentment against the poor, you know, where you think, oh, these middle class people who are, they're like my sister sending her kids to college and she's resenting somebody who's poor because they're getting a scholarship, you know, and because she thinks they get a big handout. And that's what, and that's really, they do that to us to keep us divided. And that's what was such a genius about FDR's Social Security, where everybody in, nobody out, and it belongs to everybody. And so, I mean, I really think that in the future, if we, you know, as we continue to fight, that's how everything has to be framed. You know, you don't leave anybody behind. And when we have millions of people without health care, that's not patriotic. We're leaving people on the battlefield. I mean, I don't know. I thought we didn't leave anybody behind in this country.
I mean, I'm not crawling up on the cross or anything, but I'm one of those people.
Right, right,
and,
right.
Maybe part of the solution is to get people to feel like I do, Tara. Mm-hmm. I take it personally.
Right.
I feel like they really are. You know, they're not just casually. There's that word again. Trying to kill a bunch of random Americans. The sons of bitches have it in for me personally.
Right.
And
exactly.
For anybody in this country who is not part of the coupon clipping class, they got it in for you too, because what do they call it? The Tax Cut and Jobs Creation Act.
Right. They could call it the Unicorns and Ponies Act. I mean, it's ridiculous.
This is the We Hate You Poor Bastards Act.
Right. And you have no political power, so we don't care. And that's not democracy. And they did that to us by design. It was both Democrats and Republicans. I mean, let's face it. We wouldn't be here. You know, they talk about, oh, it's such a divided country. But we wouldn't be here without the Telecommunications Act of 1996 that deregulated the media, then gave us Fox News and gave us these silos where people get their information, and now we have these right-wing dupes that are sitting around, you know, with their Social Security. That's the generation that who's watching Fox News. They're older Americans. They benefited from FDR's New Deal. They benefited from the Great Society.
Concern you, keep your hands off, keep your government hands off my Social Security.
Right, good, exactly.
Good.
They just, you know, they worked harder. No, it was government policy. I mean, even FDR said, you know, we're on our way back, but not because of a mere turn of the cycle or whatever he said. It was because we planned it that way. So don't let anybody tell you differently, because that's what they say. Oh, it's just ebb and flow of the market. And this whole thing about this stinking stock market, who cares? I mean, are people able to, you know, get ahead? Are they able to retire? Are they able to have health care? I mean, why is it that we have to stress out if we're one illness away from being on the street. I mean, what a disgrace to this country. It's really a joke. I mean, oh God, this Trump in the White House, this is how republics die. This is what is so concerning as well, because it died. The republics die because you have people. They don't care. He doesn't, like Paul Ryan. They don't care about the bigger picture of what it is to be living in a democratic republic. They don't care. You know, they just want, as long as they're good, you know, and they go along with this complete asshole and, you know,
well,
keep
did you
battling
have,
towards tax cuts. Right?
Oddly enough, I've got a story in my stack here from The Guardian. Other outlets covered it as well. But did you happen to see the story about the UN rapporteur on poverty coming visit the United States?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Now,
I did.
Now this is a guy who ordinarily spends his time wandering around countries that most Americans can't pronounce.
Yep.
But he came to the United States. His name's Philip Alston, and he found grinding, backbreaking, crippling, killing poverty, the likes of which he sees in those aforementioned countries that Americans can't pronounce.
Right.
And
so exceptional. Well, I guess we are exceptional in that way of having exceptionally disgusting, allowing.
And something, Tara, that I have been sort of hammering on of late, because, you know, we're living in Trump-merica now. But it is important that people understand that this isn't just a Trump thing.
The Republicans, that's right.
The Republicans didn't turn into a bunch of merciless, sadistic, blood-sucking, the Star Trek monsters on January 20th, 2017.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
This is stuff that goes back a ways. I mean, I remember when George W. Bush was speaking in Minnesota, and the woman got up and she said, "You know, Mr. Bush, I'm working three jobs. I'm doing the." And he said, "Hey, good for you. Isn't that unique? Isn't that uniquely American?"
Right. That is fantastic, he said.
Yeah. That's fantastic.
Isn't that fantastic? Right.
And I guess to them it is, because if we're working ourselves into an early grave, that's less of us to bother them.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you're not paying attention to them stealing everything. So, you know, and they're disappearing behind the walls of their gated communities. And we're out here, you know, fighting amongst ourselves, fending for ourselves. Oh, well, go drive Uber, I guess, if you're. And then a friend of mine was sick. A friend of mine was telling me about his friend who was sick. A very serious illness that he got where his muscles started to atrophy. But he's so fortunate because he was working for this corporation for 20 years. So he's now at home. He can't even type anymore. He has to use a voice thing. But, you know, what about everybody else? Like, I'm very happy that he, you know, it's good for him. I'm relieved that this guy gets to have medical care. But, you know, what if you don't have a Lord to serve. And all of a sudden you're driving an Uber and your muscles are starting atrophying. You know, I mean, you're on your own. And then there you have these filthy Republicans cutting your lifelines all over everywhere. So when they're saying when you were asking, what is this, anything good about this tax bill? They, you know, Paul Ryan, if you go on his Twitter feed, he's saying, "Oh, you're a family of four making $75,000 will get $2,000. Whoopee-doo! You know, doesn't, but your health care is going to go up for $20,000.
Yeah, we all know here that I sort of infamously have troubles with mathematics, but I heard that number earlier today, Tara. Well, a two-wage earner household, a blue-collar household making $75,000 a year. And I went, son of a bitch, really?
Right?
There are those? they'll get a tax cut of $2,059. So I just don't spend it all in one place.
Right, exactly. I mean, what are you going to do with your windfall? Wow.
And if they would give it to you all at once, you might could do something with it.
Right. I mean,
if we're talking about two wage earners, if we're talking about two separate paychecks, that means that each individual is going to get something on the order of an extra, not quite $100 a month per paycheck.
Right. I mean, it's such a pittance, and it's so offensive.
Or per month, yeah.
Right. It's so offensive. Just the whole thing, trickle down. The fact they know it doesn't work. They don't care. And even the name trickle down is offensive. You know, it's like trickling. It drives me insane. You don't deserve. How much do you hate yourself? You don't deserve a real splash or anything. You don't deserve to be soaked. You get a trickle. You know. Oh, thanks for the trickle. You know. I mean, I guess I'll go die now. Yeah. I'm sorry to pester my betters with
ask somebody who's been walking through the desert whether they want a trickle of water or a guzzle.
Right. Right. It's not even.
I'll take the guzzle.
They hate us. Exactly. Yeah, a trickle. I mean, that's how we've been conditioned to hate ourselves, I guess. And I don't know. I'm getting more angry. I mean, if that's even possible. I'm just constantly in a state of rage about these people. The only good thing is that, like we were saying, that people seem to be activated. And I really think that it cannot stop. Everywhere these filthy bastards go, we have to be there. Resisting, yelling in their faces. If they go to lunch, there has to be somebody there.
Yeah, sorry, you don't get to enjoy your lunch anymore, buddy.
I mean, I really believe that. The while back when Twitler was selected, they Ivanka and her treasonous husband were on a plane, and somebody harassed them or whatever, and said your father's a fascist. It was a long time ago, but they. People, there was a debate. Oh, isn't that? That's just not nice. Or whatever. F that. There are no safe spaces in fascism. So there are no safe spaces for these fascists and Ivanka. All of them. They're all complicit in the demise of the Democratic Republic. This thing that this grand experiment. That's the end of the. With this tax bill, it's. It's so offensive, the fact that they're with this estate tax. The other thing is, why don't I hear on the corporate media? Of course, they never talk about it. What the estate tax is, not just, taxing inheritance. It's to protect democracy from an aristocracy. I mean, it's a patriotic tax, but people don't get it. They just don't get it. So now you have, Donald Trump Jr. I mean, this is where we're going, where, people, the likes of Donald Trump
Jr.
Because in
a meritocracy, that
right.
guy clearly deserves to be handed some amount of wealth without ever having done a goddamn thing to deserve it.
Yeah, I mean, what have these people ever contributed to the world? None of them have ever done anything of substance and value for this world. They have sat around figuring out ways to separate dupes from their money, either a casino or a water, a magazine, a beauty pageant. I mean, this is nothing that elevates society at all.
No, you know how every now and then and it's usually a politician on our side by way of trying to draw attention to the unfairness of it all, Tara, will say, I'm going to live for a month on food stamps.
Mm-hmm.
And about a week and a half later, they're like, fuck it, can't do it. This is impossible. Nobody with a soul would ask anybody to try to live like that. But you really would. You'd like to see a Donald Trump Jr., hand him $100 and then hand him a power bill for $75 and a water bill for $50.
Right, exactly.
And tell him that the transmission just died in his car. And here's $100, and you get to deal with all of that on the $100. And by the way, here's $1.25 a day to eat on food stamps.
Right, exactly.
Get to it, you captain of industry, yep. You.
Yeah, they're so. I mean, these are people. They're such innovators, right? I mean, it's ironic. The other day, it was the anniversary of the Wright brothers' flight.
Yeah.
And Twitler tweets out something about, oh, American innovation. I mean, what has this scumbag ever innovated? And he surrounds himself with people that are hawking some kind of game, some kind of grift on dupes like Amway or whatever. It's just, and even, you know, Putin, all of his pals, they're just gangsters. And they don't add anything to this world. And, I mean, I don't understand. I really don't get it. But I think there's something obviously wrong, mentally sick with them.
Well, because... I mean, consider Mammy Trump, whatever her maiden name was.
Right.
You know, she came from this tiny little island in Scotland. I mean, she came from a gene pool that was so fucking shallow you couldn't drown a piss
right.
in it, okay?
Right.
So,
right,
I mean,
right.
there's some of that work in there. Let me ask you, I got a couple of other things on the list here.
Okay.
I've got a little list. Stuff to talk with Tara about.
Oh, thank you.
Because, you know, we've had great conversations in the past, you know, like, you know, driving over to Spring Malloy out of jail, that kind of thing.
Right.
Yeah. You take the wheel, Bob. I'll hold the gun.
right.
But
that's where it's going, right?
Yeah, exactly. Well, the J20 trials, my God, have you been following that? A journalist can now be jailed for simply, you know, for 20 fucking years.
Wow. I didn't see, I'm not following this. Is this, what is this?
Well,
now?
The J20 protests that were organized around the inauguration, and you've got an independent journalist who's facing, you know,
facing
20 hard, being tried in federal court, this is chilling stuff.
Wow. And this is, you know, it's not on the regular media. And why aren't we hearing about this?
Right. Get this quote. This is from the judge hearing the case. The judge's name is Lynn Leibovitz, and she wrote, "With respect to Mr. Wood, a reasonable juror could find that he was a principal and an aider and abettor of the riot. Yes, he was there filming. There is no evidence in the record that that was for a purpose inconsistent with participation in the riot. He played a role that furthered the purposes both of the conspiracy and of the riot itself, which was to advertise it, to broadcast it, to live stream it, such that others could be recruited to join in. For all these reasons, a reasonable juror could find Mr. Wood guilty of destruction of property, and persons hearing his live stream could be recruited, were being kept abreast and informed of the events."
Wow.
So in other words, you know, that part about kept abreast and informed of the events, that's journalism, Tara.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, doesn't this – who is this judge? Doesn't she know that?
She's a George W. Bush appointee to the D.C. bench, the D.C. federal bench. She's there for life.
Wow. Well, this is what I'm talking about, what we were just saying.
This is fascism.
Yeah, it's the end of Republic. This is what happens. And it reminds me of what Hitler did, where he stacked the courts with all the Nazi sympathizers. And whenever any case went to in front of them, they would, if somebody had murdered, let's say, a communist or a labor union person, they would be let off and whatnot. And that's how they nullify and seize power and stuff like this. And the conservatives, really, it's gone to where they're not fit. They're just unfit to hold leadership positions in a democracy. Because for somebody to say that, and I don't really understand how they could... Don't they understand that journalism is the only profession that is enshrined in the Constitution? as vital.
Well, what's interesting is that, as you note, this is not being well covered in the for-profit media, because this is not something that she could get away with doing to one of the millionaire
right.
class of the alphabet gang.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, it's just everywhere you look now, there's something to wake you up screaming in the middle of the night. Something like this. And we're not crazy. That's the other thing. For years, people, even back during George W. Bush, we were like, this is fascism. It's coming. I mean, it's here. And now, and people would say, you know what always would drive me insane was this Godwin's Law bullshit. They would say, oh, Godwin's Law. It's not, I mean, what is Godwin's Law? Some idiot on the internet said, whoever mentions Nazis automatically loses the argument. I mean, so let's not study history then. Let's not learn the lessons of history, because guess what? It is happening here. And now at least people are saying, okay, yeah, this is happening. But it's kind of a little too late, really, because you got to think, too, with Trump in the White House, it's not just Trump, like you said. It really isn't. He is the symptom of the disease. What really scares me, and it reminds me of, the end of the Roman Republic, because, Caesar was – he was ostentatious, and he offended the Senate, and they killed him. But the first Roman emperor, Augustus, he knew how to play the game. He was always respectful to the Senate, but all the while concentrating power, and that was the end of it. I mean, it was really over then. But and I fear that we get somebody that is not as offensive. But he is doing this even worse than what Trump is up to, and it's over. It's really done. Because how much more can they separate people from the process too? You know, I mean, what do we have now? How many so many people are against this bill, this tax bill, and they're just ramming it through, and that's not the only piece of legislation. Like even for instance, background checks on gun purchases. 90% of Americans want that, but they don't do it, you know, because they don't answer to us. And so if we don't get it back, and it's a full court press, from gerrymandering, from voter ID.
Right, and that's one of the larger questions, because I'm terrified that we're going to see this in action again. We saw it in 16. We saw it in 14. I think we saw it in 12. The nation is so thoroughly gerrymandered at this point that Democrats cycle in and cycle out, get more votes.
Right, right.
And the Republicans just remain entrenched in power in the House of Representatives.
Exactly. And is that democracy? Even with Twitler not getting as many votes as Crooked Hillary, right? I'm just saying Crooked Hillary. I don't really but you know what I mean?
No, no, no.
I voted
it's
for Crooked
it's
Hillary.
It's a little easier. Crooked Hillary, Crooked Hillary. And you have to make your lips into that little cat's ass looking thing. Crooked Hillary.
Oh, I know. And the fact that he has now shorthanded it into just Crooked. He just calls her Crooked. When he tweeted something about...
you said shorthanded. I thought you were going to talk about him picking up the glass of water yesterday.
No, I mean, he's a moron.
No. Yeah, he is, but what?
He's a man baby. I mean,
what
this
the
is
fuck?
A baby.
What the fuck? Actual? I mean, did you? I mean, you saw with the glass yesterday, right?
Yes.
Any other human being on the planet picks the glass up, takes a drink, sets it down.
Right.
He grabs it with both hands. And when you combine this, you know, we've talked in the past. You know, my wife was a nurse, and then when we got married and started having a family, she decided to go pro, and you know, practice her arts on the children.
Mm-hmm.
But she took one look at that at the slurring video. You know, I'd watch the American
United States.
She said, "Dude is gonna have a big old stroke."
Yeah, yeah.
And then last night after the program was over, I walked into the bedroom. She said, "You saw the video with the glass of water, didn't you, Bob?" I said, "Well, yeah." She said, "I told you." And to get serious for a minute, I have a theory that the reason he had to two-hand that ordinary highball glass,
mm-hmm.
and those of us with a history of alcohol consumption know what a highball glass is, even if we don't do it anymore. But she said he had to do that because he would have shaken all the water out of the glass because of the tremors.
Oh yeah, sure.
And I'm not kidding. People tend to think I'm joking when I say this. I am absolutely convinced the man is in the end stages of tertiary neurosyphilis, Tara.
I don't doubt it.
I mean, 37 times he goes on Howard Stern in the 90s. He refers to the 90s as it was my sexual Vietnam.
Right.
Okay. Now, that is when you say it was my sexual Vietnam, that is an admission that you have engaged in dangerous sexual practices, okay?
Right.
Because there are like booby traps. Oh dear God, I probably shouldn't have said it. God. but there were snares and pitfalls and things that could do you. So he's admitting that he had a lot of unprotected sex.
Yeah, yeah.
And
when you grab that pussy, you just want to go for it. It's...
Yeah, we can say things like that here.
I know.
Agit Pie hasn't found the horn yet. I think there's something bad coming. And right. I don't.
Oh God.
It's not a matter of wishing. I don't have to wish. We've gotten to the Zen portion of the program, Tara. You know, the one where if you sit by the river long enough, the body of your enemy will float by.
That's wishful thinking, yeah.
But I think he's got serious health problems.
Oh yeah, but that's what I'm saying. I am afraid, honestly. On some level, it's probably good, even though I hope he doesn't blow us all up with a nuclear war. I know that he wants to. I know that he wants. He's itching to blow up something with a nuclear weapon, which will destroy us. So, but he's so stupid, he doesn't realize that. And I know he wants to.
But there's
right?
been so much talk of the 25th Amendment, which nobody really ever talked about until January 20th, 2017.
Right, right.
We may actually, and there's been a lot of talk about, what would it take to get, because you got to have Mike Pence and half the cabinet.
Right,
what would it
right.
take to get them to do that? And we just sort of blew past, because we were, at least the conversation we've been having here on the horn, we just kind of blew past this, the idea of nature taking its course, and we're like, well, if he runs naked down Pennsylvania Avenue waving his tiny little penis at passersby,
right.
Then we'll know. Or will Mike Pence act then? Well, if the dude has a great big cerebral vascular accident, a CVA, the formal term for a slobber knocker of a stroke, then we won't have to wonder anymore, because at that point, Mike Pence will have to, and the
right.
cabinet will have to.
Yes.
And it's not like I'm going stroke. I'm not Ben Hur on the benches of the galley going stroke, 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 or anything. But it's becoming plain, I think, that there are tremendous problems.
Right, but I don't even, when you were saying him running down the street naked, I don't think that would be their bar either. That's not their line. They would.
Well, I'm with you on that too, because I don't think they'd act.
No, not at all.
And the House Republicans would say, Well, it'd be the Emperor's New Clothes, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I wonder if that's the fabulous. If that's the invisible flight suit that they wear in the invisible airplane.
Yeah, he was just so he needed. He was running. He's into a new kind of fitness where you're naked. I mean, they would come up with something.
But the thing is, if something comes along like what my wife is predicting, they won't have a choice.
Right, but please let it happen on national television. Let it happen. Oh, God. Please. Anyway, no, but if that happens, that's the thing that I'm worried about. If Pence gets in, because Pence can play the part. He won't tweet. He'll act almost normal. He fits the suit. He'll wear his little suit, and he knows how not to look like an idiot. But dangerous.
But I think the right wing, Tara, is even beginning to contemplate this stuff themselves, because you can read this in whatever's coming along from Fox News TV Radio Rwanda, and this latest bit of they always slowly bring their audience along. They introduce little elements until they've got the full-blown, toxic orchid that smells like a corpse. And they've been hollering since last week that the FBI was trying to run a coup on Trump, right?
Right.
Well,
right.
You know what came out today?
What?
They actually said that there was an FBI plot to assassinate him.
Oh, my God. These people are... This is like any third world tin pot... whatever country that you have read about, really, it's
but see now that means that Rupert and company have Emery and Marvelline sitting on them in their matching Barca loungers out in flyover country saying they're trying to kill our president, Marvelline. And so when if he does, let's say it's on national TV, like you just asked the goddess of irony to do for you, and she's listening, then the Fox News audience and the 33%, the dead enders and the hard cases, clearly the FBI put something in his Diet Coke.
Right, right. Yes, exactly. That's true.
They can then be immediately weaponized.
Yeah, that's right. Well, it really frightens me. There's so many things that frighten me, but one of the things is that I wonder which nutcase is being activated right now watching Fox News that's going to take his manias out on the world in some way, kill somebody, murder somebody with some FBI or whatever. I mean, it's frightening to think that this is what they're doing. To say that somebody, because they're a Democrat, cannot run an impartial investigation? Where do we live? I mean, this is democracy. You're allowed to have opinions, supposedly. Now, the Republican Party are the same people that asked Putin, if you're listening, to hack Hillary Clinton's emails, are now obsessed that Bob Mueller didn't get emails in a right way, which isn't even true. I'm sure he went through the proper channels to get his emails. They're really setting this country up for more pain, more division, and the death of this of the grand experiment. I mean, that's it. It really is. Over if that we don't get it back and get sanity back. But I don't know, maybe not in my lifetime. This is how I feel. I feel, just like the suffragettes went on hunger strike and they never saw the women having the right to vote. And I feel sometimes that we won't see
to use the religious metaphors, they didn't get to cross over Jordan. They were like Moses and just got to see it from the near side.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they knew it was coming, but I think there's an element of that that always attends social change, Tara.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't mean to diminish anybody's efforts in the past, because they were all vitally necessary to getting us closer, you know, because it says in order to form a more perfect union, not because we've already got one.
Right, exactly.
But it just feels to me, and I feel all creepy about it because, you know, I'll soon be 55 years old, and, you know, I'm not zipping around in my scooter yet or anything, but I'd like to have been dealing with this when I was a little bit younger.
Right, exactly.
I know. But this is, it feels like there's something coming.
Mm-hmm. I agree, and
it feels like it will be determinative of the future of what's left of this country, and that's the other part of all this, what's left of this country. It seems like they've been able to move with astonishing speed from a regulatory standpoint, not so much with legislative, but my God, you know, look at what's coming now. It really does seem like they've done more harm in not quite 12 months than Barack Obama was able to accomplish good in 8 years.
Oh, yeah. And just that we have a whole right wing that thinks Obama needed to be impeached. He was, not born in America. You can't have a country that is operating on diverse set of facts, right? There's the truth, and then there's the not the truth. You can't have, there's no alternative facts, but the right wing, they're operating on these alternative facts. You can't have, the Betsy DeVos's of the world making education, no matter what, you could just teach whatever you want. Teach the, you know, creationism has an equal weight as the reality, science, and whatnot. It's not going to last. What was so exceptional about America? This is what they're always saying. It's so exceptional. America's so exceptional. They are destroying anything that made it exceptional. And that they don't even get it, though. How can you have an exceptional nation when you're telling your scientists that they can't speak certain words in official documents or write certain words? It's frightening. And the irony is, you know, they called Obama. Oh, he wants to be a emperor. He wants to be a king, right? I mean, it's like cuckoo land out here. It really is that we even have to have somebody like a Trump and they don't do anything about it. So because this is the other thing that gets me too. So we have respect for the office of the presidency, that we have to play hail to the chief when this idiot walks in the room, and we have to put up with all his bullshit and run around protecting his family like they're worth anything. I mean, it's this national psychosis, you know? So let's just pantomime that we're, you know, that everything is normal. And you know what I mean? It's not normal. This guy,
I know this is going to sound a little bit nuts, Tara. And by the way, just in case you wandered in, this is a conversation with the magnificent, the fabulous, the incomparable Tara Devlin of RepublicanDirtyTricks.com.
Thank you.
Yo, you're more than welcome.
And RDT Daily.
RDT Daily. Yes, you find them on the web and on Facebook, right?
Yes, and yeah, I mean, we have a whole Facebook community, and you should come by. We have 130,000 followers on Facebook, and we just started a Twitter. And
can I borrow some followers, please?
Please, we can. We have to hook up our Facebook pages. We'll do that. We'll, you know what I mean?
So absolutely.
Cross post. Yes.
But I was going to ask you because, you know, you're in New York, and nobody does the Christmas season better than New York. But for all the talk. And I think this is sort of reflective of where we are right now. For all the talk about how
and it's going to be safe to say Merry Christmas again.
Oh, God, I know. Right.
Have you noticed that this Christmas season kind of blows?
Yeah. I mean, everybody is. I'm not really into it myself. I'm never really that into it, to tell you the truth. But, yeah, it's. There's something in the air now.
Okay, thank you. It's not just me.
Yeah. Now, people are stressed out. Well, people in New York, at least I live in New York, where most people hate Trump. And if you don't, I grew up on Staten Island. So Staten Island is the outlier here. That is the only borough that voted for Trump. But most people at this point, because it's such a diverse community here, most people are they're not assholes. Like, you know that most people know people from other places and different religions, and that is really what kills the fear that Republicans seem so driven by, the fear of other.
I, on the other hand, live in the Trumpiest place on earth.
Oh my God, I feel for you, I really do.
And but even here, you know, you go to the malls, they're grim. There's not a lot of lights. There's not a lot of happiness.
Well, what do we have to celebrate? We're the laughing stock of the world.
Do you think even the maggots, the Trumpanzees, do you think even they know it on some sort of subconscious level, Tara?
They have to know it. I wonder. Of course, there's always going to be that KKK base that's his base. He's not going to lose them, but there probably are a few normal people. Not normal. I mean, anybody normal couldn't vote for that thing, and you got to be a real dupe, really. But I think that they must be embarrassed. The one thing that I see, or whenever they interview these Trumpanzees, they say, "Oh, I wish he would stop tweeting." You know, like as that's the main problem, that
I wish he would stop providing evidence that everybody who told me I was a disgusting human being for voting for him was right.
right. Oh, he should just stop tweeting. And the other thing, even I hear Democrats saying this, but I guess they have to say it, the Democrats in Congress. Oh, he should stop tweeting and start getting things done. What is he getting? Why would we want him to get anything done? This is an idiot that bankrupted a casino. This is a guy who couldn't get a legitimate bank loan in the United States, that praises dictators. I mean, the fact that these Trumpanzees, anybody voted for this asshole when he's kissing up to the worst authoritarians who kill. And that's the other thing. They hate, they love Putin now, suddenly, all these right wingers. He's strong. But that's the thing. And it just proves my point. They don't like democracy. They never did. Democracy is messy. It requires debate.
Yeah, even the sort of weak-kneed attempt at democracy that this country represents, don't like.
That's right. That's why they think it's strong. Oh, we got to be strong. But they don't get it that it is strong to have a democratic republic. It is strong to debate and to consider everybody and to have a diverse society that leaves no one behind. That is strength. That it's strong to confront your prejudices and evolve. Yeah. But they don't get it. They just want some big daddy to save them from the scary, complex world of others who don't know their place. And they think Trump, and that's what's so pathetic, though, that this idiot, because he played a successful businessman on reality TV, he's going to save them. He deserves to be the highest executive in the land, to have the access to the nuclear codes, to have people's lives in his hand. I mean, what? And it's not just the tweeting. So and the other thing I just want to mention with his Twitter account, because This is something that I think should be mentioned anytime we talk about, or anybody talks about his Twitter account, because I see on like Morning Joe constantly they're saying, oh, Trump just tweeted to his 45 million Twitter followers some blah, blah, blah.
Don't tell me you watch Morning Joe, too.
I have it. I mean, I just have it on when I'm getting up.
Yeah, I can't. I can't help myself. I know.
And it gets on my nerves, believe me. And especially with Joe Scarborough, his constant drumbeat. For me, he's testing social security. I mean, I hate these people. You know, they don't understand. Everything that they touch turns to shit. They means testing Social Security, yeah, of course, you know, just turn it into another welfare program.
Do you realize, this is a guy, Tara, who was a wild-eyed, crazy, you know, chewing on the carpet, Gingrich, contract on America Republican, okay?
Right.
Now he's a goddamn moderate.
Right. Well, he seems moderate. I mean, that's what's so, because they're so off the chain.
That's what I mean. You know, it's Glenn Beck's Glenn Beck's Overton window, and it slid so far to the right that Joe Scarborough and Teddy Kennedy are
moderate
buddies.
Yeah. They're sane, but there are no sane Republicans. But let me just say before I get off track, because the thing that. I mean, people probably know, but half of Trump's Twitter followers are fake. And this needs to be said every time he does not have 45,000 Twitter followers. He has half that. And which goes to show you just how insecure and pathetic he is. And his kids do the same thing, because you can buy followers and you could tell which followers are fake. These are bots. They're created by some whatever company, and you buy them, and you go into Trump's Twitter feed, and you could see that, and that you could also do an audit on Twitter where you put their handle into the Twitter audit machine thing, and it comes back, and Trump has like half of his Twitter followers are fake, so you know. When it's even there for somebody who supposedly hates fake news, they certainly are ground zero for fake news, because everything about them is bullshit. And could you imagine if President Obama had fake followers on his Twitter account? What would Republicans do?
Get a rope.
Exactly. Yeah. They were like, this guy is mentally ill. And but that's how disgusting Republicans are. They have no integrity. These are people like Ted Cruz, you know, who this guy went after his wife, called his wife ugly. His father was involved in the JFK assassination. And there he is just supporting him. And Romney, all of them, they have no souls, these people.
Well, no souls, no shame, no character.
Exactly. None of it. Right. None of the thing that makes you a human being, that makes that, you know.
And,
that,
yeah, all of those things that their much vaunted religiosity is supposed to convey and confer upon them.
If they were only into Jesus, I wish. Yeah, we wouldn't be dealing with all this, them taking health care from people and calling it a victory. That's how disgusting they are. How do you strip healthcare? How do you run a bill, a game, this sham on people that will destroy healthcare, that will rip healthcare for, I don't know what the number, I think it said 15 million people. Why do we even have one fucking person in this country that doesn't have healthcare?
Right. Well, that goes back to Philip Alston and the UN Rapporteur report. You know, his conclusion on that, Tara, was that we don't have crushing poverty in the United States because it is unavoidable. We have crushing poverty in the United States because we choose to have crushing poverty in the United States.
Right. And these people, I bet you, voted for Trump. You know, I don't know if you saw that. There was, I think you actually were the one who told me about this. There was this report that was done. Maybe it was the BBC about the Trump, the poorest community in the United States that they voted for Trump.
And
they're people picking up cans on the side of the road and whatnot. What I get it, I understand. That is where the Democratic Party screwed them, and I get it. because, you know, when Bill Clinton turned his back on the New Deal, I mean, that was all part of that whole DLC bullshit.
Oh, my God. And but I say that with a caveat because, Tara, I'm so depressed, disheartened with the purity wars of 2016.
Right. Okay. Well, I mean,
I'm not saying that's where you were going. But it Bill Clinton with the so-called welfare reform of the mid 90s.
Right.
That was a great big middle finger to everybody who wasn't born on third thinking they hit a triple.
Right. Exactly. And then where you turn your back on your base, that's where into those cracks where, you know, neoliberalism creates this kind of disparity, this income disparity, and into those cracks, you get somebody like a Trump, you get fascism will seep in and start dividing people. I always say that if the Democratic Party never, I mean, how did we concede the party of the people to the freaking Republicans? You know, I mean, it's really
the damage is done, Tara. I was born and raised in Alabama. I live my entire family is from West Virginia. My entire extended family, 9 generations. I'm the only one in my family that was born in a different part of Appalachia, but it's still Appalachia.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're a decent human being and you're in Alabama, and let's say it's Christmas and you're walking through the mall, and you count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 white women, you can know for a fact that 6 out of 10 of those white women are awful human beings. You count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 white men, and you go, and you know that 7 of them are awful human beings.
Hmm.
Because they took a look at a guy who put Klansmen in prison
right.
for murdering little girls, and they took a look at a child molester and said, "I'll take the child molester."
Right. Right.
There's no getting around how awful those people. I mean that's a definitional moment,
right?
And
right.
And that's Alabama, but that's also, you know, anywhere in America. Count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 white women, and 5 of them are awful human beings.
Right, right, right.
And
probably a lot of them were molested as a child. I mean, there's 1 in 3 women are victims of sexual assault. So,
and I think that's probably a lowball estimate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That right there is ground zero for America's problems. A lot of Americans are awful people. And
right.
I won't subject you to it, but usually every time I mention Hillary Clinton's name, I have to turn the reverb on and yell, "The devil." but the fact of the matter is, she said in that inartful way that only Hillary Clinton can manage,
mm-hmm.
that half of the people voting for Donald Trump
right.
were awful people.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
she used the word deplorable, and then everybody started wearing their deplorable T-shirts. And I'm like, really? You're a Klansman?
Because, right, well, because, that's what you said, right?
Right, exactly. Because when you confront them with the actual quote, and I know it drives some people on the so-called progressive left crazy when you say this, when you look at the actual quote, Tara, she was right.
Yes, that's what I always find fascinating, them calling themselves deplorable, because she was talking, she qualified it. The racists, the KKK, the homophobes, the Islamophobes. She qualified who she was talking about.
If you don't think a Klansman's deplorable, if you don't think a neo-Nazi is deplorable, then yes, you're deplorable too.
Right, you are deplorable, and I'm glad you admit it. I guess the first step in change, but I mean, they're not changing.
I wanted to turn things back just a little bit because, you know, we started out talking about the tax bill, but that's the other thing that's coming. They have proudly announced that now they're going to come for Social Security.
Yep. Yeah, they don't even hide it. That's the thing that's so fascinating. They're not even keeping it close to their vest.
No, they're proud of it. They're proud of it. They are, to be crass and gross and over the top again, they are running around, and we're talking about Republicans after all. They're running around with their genitals flopping in the wind, and they're not ashamed. They're saying, look at me.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
But you also mentioned Morning Joe. And so I was, you know, that's my filthy little habit. Everybody here knows it. I get up in the morning and I tweet it. I tweet at Joe and Mika.
Me too. I didn't know that you were that with me because now I know. Well, because I need emotional support sometimes watching that show. So I'm glad to know you're,
and so
you're
this,
there.
And so this morning they had representing Tom Cole from the 4th Congressional District, District of Oklahoma stand. And they had him on to talk about the tax bill and everything, and then they asked him about Social Security.
Oh yeah,
And this is one of those moments when I miss drinking, because it used to be that I could just keep a bottle of Rotgut right handy and just get a good gulp every time one of these stupid things would get uttered. But he said, well, you know, cutting Social Security is not the only way to deal with it. I mean, we could raise the retirement age, people. And then there it was, Tara. Oh, my God, there it was. People are living longer and longer now.
Yeah, right. And that's not even true. So it's people have always lived. It's the rich that are able to live longer. We have and our infant mortality rates have gone down. So when that's factored in, it actually looks like people are living longer. But they're... I mean,
the fact of the matter is, you know, we had that story from a few months back, maybe almost a year now. People of my generation, white males of my generation.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Are
that's
dying.
Right. That's right.
Are dying shockingly.
Mm-hmm.
Women in Appalachia, the life expectancy for women in America had been climbing. And now women in Appalachia's life expectancy is falling. And this guy's sitting there, people are living longer and longer. You know what? If you don't have Social Security, you're not going to live very long.
Well, that's it. Did you? I'm sure you know that in their budget or one of their bills, was it? I don't know. It's all mixing in. But the fact the CBO scored that Social Security is they're going to not need as much money because why? Because people are going to die. That's why.
Right.
Yeah.
And there's a fix out. There's a fix out there. DACA is part of it, and frankly, paths to citizenship for people who are deemed to be here illegally bring them fully into the economy and out of the shadows.
Right. Well, they don't want that. They want.
The cap.
Right. Well, this is why we need Democrats in office, because, you know, for all the Democrats' flaws, that they don't let you starve in the streets, and they believe mostly in democracy. We need to have a progressive revolution, that's for sure, and need more progressives. But, you know,
and that's why things don't move as quickly when Democrats have power as they do when Republicans have power. Democrats actually believe in that regular order business.
That's
Democrats
right.
actually yeah. believe in process, and they follow the damn rules. On the other hand, this gang, well, you know, they're thugs.
That's
They're thugs. Yeah. They're vandals, and they believe in nothing more than the raw exercise of pure bloody power.
Right. And as long as they have theirs, that's the other thing. It just gets me, like somebody like Paul Ryan, instead of understanding that he benefited from Social Security survivor benefits, that if his father died and he had nothing, he wouldn't have gone to college. He would have had a lot of a different life than he has. But instead of being grateful and wanting to extend that gratitude by keeping the ladder and making sure it's there for other people, he pulls that ladder up behind him. Now, that's a special kind of scumbag, really. And I don't understand. I mean, they're all in the Republican Party. What I mean, they're all I don't get it. Why any working person would vote Republican is there's something wrong with them. You just have to scratch the surface.
Well, it's because the Republican Party is better at messaging them,
right,
and reaching them with issues that they can use to cull the herd.
Right.
And they appeal to their emotions. They don't give a good goddamn about their intellect.
While
we over here are saying, well, you know, we've got this plan, and if we can, right, if we can enact a 0.34% change in,
right,
Emery and Marvelline's eyes just sort of glaze over,
right,
you know, until the Trumpy Bear commercial comes on.
That's right. And they're like, Democrats are killing babies. And you know, they're like, what? I hate Democrats.
Baby killers. So.
And the irony there is that, you know, Democrats are, if you don't like abortion, vote Democratic, because abortion rates go down under reality-based education and health
But the problem, Tara, is if you tell them that once, and Fox News and the preacher on Sunday are telling them that 100 times.
Right.
Who
right.
wins? And,
I know.
And that's not me being a little ray of sunshine. That's it's just reality. And Doug Jones did a fairly good job in Alabama of saying, yeah, I know you want to talk about him being a kiddie diddler. I want to talk about where your next meal's coming from.
Right. And that's good. I think. Well, the thing with Bernie showed that you could be just be an honest person, and people are attracted to that, because I do believe Bernie would have won, but that's another debate. But even a socialist, even with all the vilification of the word socialism, even though we're all socialists.
I honestly don't know if anybody but Trump would have won this time through. It was so sick, and I don't think the Russians would have let up,
right,
had it been Bernie.
I think
they had an agenda, and they had something they wanted, and they were
right.
determined to have it.
Right, and they got it. And Trump is, like they're saying, I think it was Clapper said, it's Putin is working his asset. He has turned an asset, and he knows how to work him by stroking his ego, and you know that's what he's doing. And it's such a disgrace that we have this idiot who's a useful idiot of a foreign dictator, a foreign anti-democratic dictator, and all he had to do was flatter him. And for Republicans to keep going along with this. Goes to show you that
so
they
are you done. are you taking any odds on Bob Mueller any of that?
Well, I think Kushner will. I think that he's going after Kushner. I mean, I don't. First of all, I do think that Trump, whatever, willingly and or unwittingly, colluded with the Russians. That's what he did. He doesn't care about this country. He wanted information, and he's working. He doesn't care that, you know, it's sort of like the same way he has respect for people who have money. He doesn't care how they got it. If Putin can give him help, then on Crooked Hillary, if he had info, I mean, he said it right in front of the United States. Russia, if you're listening, hack Hillary's emails, right? So I think that he worked with them wittingly or unwittingly, because that's all that he wants to do is win. He doesn't care how he gets there. And I don't think he's smart enough to get that's treason, that he is, that getting information from a foreign dictator is is working against, is conspiracy against the United States, which, you know, two of his minions have already pled guilty to. Could you imagine? I mean, we once had a Democratic president not too long ago where nobody was pleading guilty for conspiracy against the United States. I mean, how is this happening? But anyway, so with Mueller, you know that's what he's doing. And the fact that Fox News and all those propagandists are going after Mueller is it's alarming. It is, because I think that if he does fire him, it is a constitutional crisis, and if they allow him to get away with it, where do we go from there? And this is what we keep saying, though, right? Every time some new offense happens, they do allow him to get away with it. And, you know, I don't know. I would love to see Don Jr. go to jail. I know that he colluded, definitely. He's talking about adoptions? When the hell did they give a crap about adoptions?
Yeah, please, no.
Adoptions? I mean, well, that's that whole Magnitsky Act
right.
thing.
Yeah.
So what they were talking about was lifting the sanctions and that, okay, don't worry about it, we'll do it. But, you know, you're undermining the an already sitting president and siding with a foreign dictator who is injecting himself into our so-called sacred election system. That's what Trump called it, our sacred election. So
which he had previously referred to as being rigged. The sacred rigged election system. Yes.
Right. Well, there you go. I mean, they have no scruples, these people. They don't care. So he said, oh, when they started talking about adoptions, I got disinterested. Well, you know, because I was trying to collude and they started talking about adoptions and I really wanted dirt on Clinton. But they don't understand that. I don't know if you saw recently, there was there's so many of these idiots that keep are on the news and whatnot. But it was that Rachel Maddow had a thing where he was accidentally talking with these KGB. I don't know. They're not KGB anymore, but the Russian agents that they were recruiting him, and you know, he didn't know he was meeting with them and he didn't realize what was going on. So, and this came out. I think, yeah, they're dumbasses. They're stupid, but they're greedy and they have no scruples. So they'll, whatever, if Putin, I mean, can give him a leg up or so, of course they're going to do it. They don't care. They don't care about this country. They don't understand what it means. They don't, you know, it's such a disgrace when I think about all the people that died for this country that are lying dead all over the world in their cold early graves, young people, you know, all the poems that weren't written, all the tears, the people that didn't come home, the children that didn't know their parents, the pain supposedly for this America thingy, right?
Oh, and I noticed we've got a new movie coming up about the 12 heroic soldiers who faced down the Taliban while mounted only on horseback.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Well, you know, now that's a whole other story. How much war, it just never ends, right? It's this, and we have this jerk off who never served, sacrificed a lunch, much less a day of service for his country.
Bone spurs.
Right. The bone spurs general over here who's going to get us into a nuclear war.
Well, you know what they say, Tara, if the pilonidal cyst doesn't get you, the bone spurs will.
Right. Well, isn't that funny? All these Republicans, they just love, war, only when somebody else is fighting for it.
Right. Well, let me ask you. I mean, you and I have different, wildly different life experiences in terms of where we are. I live in a resource colony, a toxic resource colony. You live in the beating heart of the world itself. Do you wake up every morning and run and check your feed to see if the nukes have gone off yet?
Yeah, every morning.
Because I do. I really do.
Yeah. Every morning I wake up and I'm like, what happened? It used to be that when Bush was in office too, I would wake up like, ugh, what happened now? And I was
This doesn't even feel like Bush though, Tara.
This feels worse.
This is a different thing. I mean, yeah. I way, way, way back when I was just a little pimply-faced gospel DJ, I had to cope with the EBS test, the EBS test, and the beep, you know, that interrupted your radio broadcast in the middle of your favorite song, and I've gotten to the point where I think we kind of need one of those for like cell phones,
right?
Because when there's an amber alert, you know, my phone will go boop and it'll tell me amber, and it makes a different noise. We need it. We need it. We need a different noise alert system for every cell phone in the country, in case that crazy little bastard decides to set the world on fire.
Right. And if he can, he will do it to get himself out of jail for sure, or out of being impeached. I think he'll start a war.
You can't indict me. You can't indict a commander in chief in the middle of a war, because see, I can see him doing that.
Yep, of course, I could see he wants to use nuclear weapons. There's no doubt.
And I remember when Republicans used to get themselves into a high lather over that too. Oh, wag the dog. Right. He bombed an aspirin factory. Right. Wag the dog.
Yeah. No war for Monica, they would say, with Clinton when he was trying to go after Osama bin Laden. No war for Monica. I mean, but that's who they are. They have absolutely no integrity. They're liars. This is how we know. I mean, how long have they been screaming about the deficit? Now they're adding over $1 trillion to it as a mechanism to come after Social Security and Medicare. These people are disgusting pigs, and I don't even like to say that because I like pigs. Pigs are charming and intelligent creatures who actually add to the world. They add value, and they have sacrificed more than any Trump and Z
Donald Trump could never find a truffle.
Right? For real. I mean, you know, pigs, they add to science. They obviously, they give their lives for human sustenance. They're charming. They're smart. There's more than you could say for what we're dealing with, this Trump crime family. They suck. What are they doing? They're the creating sweatshops, selling brand, their freaking name everywhere. I mean, they have added nothing to this world. And why should we have to continuously put up with it? And I don't know. It's when will it end? It's not just getting rid of Trump. We have to understand that, you know, what's at stake here? Do we want to live under the thumb of a Donald Trump Jr. as our lord? As our sovereign lord?
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, because that is, you know, you mentioned the Roman Republic early in our conversation. Yeah. And I can't help wandering off into the classical history weeds myself from time to time. Mm-hmm. And I see the rise, because so Julius Caesar was never emperor. Octavian consolidates power based on his granduncle's wealth that he inherited.
Mm-hmm.
Fights a civil war, Mark Antony, Cleopatra, all of that. And then pretty much the rest of the of that dynasty, and it peters out pretty quick when Nero kicks his pregnant wife and kills his only heir. You know, smart guy, mm-hmm. that Nero. They were a bunch of fuck-ups.
Yep, that's right.
Now, what happens when you start with a fuck-up and you just
fuck
right on downhill?
That is true, because Augustus was smart, and, you know, they didn't call him emperor. They called him the first citizen, and if you go to Italy,
right,
you'll see his, you know, there's a whole wall of his accomplishments that he put up, and, you know, he played it. He was smart. That's what I was saying earlier. He was deferential to the Senate. He played the game. They all pretended and that they were that, living in a republic still.
They all normalized what was systematically an abnormal situation.
Right.
So let me just tell you, in case you want to get in on this.
Yes.
I've got a $5 bill at 1,000,000-to-1 odds with Harris in Reno that on January the 20th, 2025, Ivanka Trump becomes our first woman president.
Are you kidding me? Wait, you put a bet on this somewhere? I got to put my money on this.
But I mean, I don't want it to be true, but
right.
it's entirely too possible.
It is, and I actually saw a meme on Twitter. One of these idiots put a meme, and it said exactly that, 20 whatever it was, whatever the year. And it said our first woman president. It had Ivanka sitting behind the desk in the Oval Office. And I was like, "Do you people really understand what the hell you're talking about? It's not just
you can never go broke underestimating the intelligence of the
right.
American people.
Exactly. I mean, look at where we are. And they had it was Ivanka, and then they had. What's his face? The autistic kid. He was the next one. It was really ridiculous.
Oh,
I
little Boron. Yes.
Yeah. poor thing. I hope he. I mean, whatever.
Yeah.
He seems like one of these.
Yeah,
people.
But can you? Okay. Because you're a comedian, all right. and some of this stuff is just ripe. Can you imagine? I mean, yeah, poor little kid, okay?
Right.
Come along, Baron. Mommy is going to show you her Christmas hallway of horrors.
Right, exactly. I mean, did you see, though, not just that the it's like, thanks for the nightmares, you know? but the Pence's Christmas card was equally disturbing.
What the, oh my, Jesus, no.
The two sitting there in black, they were both wearing black suits. Like, she's wearing a black dress, he's wearing a black suit. I mean, what are they going to, a fucking funeral? I mean,
they're celebrating the birth of Jesus, but they know how it ends.
Right. They've seen the movie, right?
No, I've got this mental image of melanoma rising from some goat's blood bath every morning.
Right, you know, exactly, right.
It keeps my skin fresh and young.
Exactly. My skin. It's true. I mean, she's clearly, you know.
You know she and Ivanka don't like each other worth a damn.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're all petty. That's the whole thing. Like, none of them are emotionally mature. And it takes a level of maturity to function in a democratic society. I always say this. And just earlier today, I wrote an article on RDT Daily about the cookie. That Ted Cruz and Don Jr. were posing with this cookie, and the guy who owns the restaurant found out about it. And
I did not bake the cookie. It did not come from my restaurant.
Exactly, and he was appalled and saddened, or whatever he said. It was saddened, and he felt betrayed and saddened about their stunt using it to divide people. But that's who they are. You see, like, how petty and childish are you that you have to stand there with President Obama's image on a cookie, like two grinning douchebags out of a schoolyard? That's what they act like. And they're supposed to be leading this country. They're writing bills and legislation that's going to affect people's lives. I mean, this is a disgrace. And the fact that anybody votes for them, why? Don't you see these idiots for what they are? And maybe, I guess they don't. They don't see it.
They don't see what they don't want to see.
Because I guess they're like them on some level. Oh, he talks like me. Well, you're a dumbass. And that should not be celebrated. And that's why we need public education. I mean, there's so many reforms that we need. Like, for instance, you know, why having public education attached to property values? That's bullshit. And, you know, I mean, these are the reforms that we need when we get in, when we have. I mean, I really, the other good thing about this time is that perhaps if we make it, if he doesn't blow us all up, if, right?
Right.
But we could get, this is setting us up for a real progressive revolution, the revival. It's sort of, you know, we went through the Gilded Age, we went through the Great Depression, now we're whatever. But we're definitely in a new Gilded Age, and I don't know if we'll live long enough. I don't know if I will to see it, but the other good news is the young people they're not identifying as Republicans. They see the Republicans for what they are.
Well, look at the millennial vote in Alabama.
Yeah, exactly. So that's good, because it's the kiss of death to be a Republican, to call yourself a Republican. You're automatically a douchebag. That's what I have my nieces and nephews are in their 20s now. That's, you know, being a Republican, they don't like people who are. It's an adjective. You know, it's a descriptive. It's he's a Republican. You know, meaning he's a douchebag, and you know, enough said. And that's
like when you're driving down on a long trip down the highway, and you say, well, I'm going to stop at the rest area because I got to take a Trump.
Exactly, it's true.
Yeah,
everybody knows. And the whole world is laughing. You know, the other thing that's so funny, when you go on, if you go on Facebook on the White House feed, which I want to vomit all the time when I look at it, because every time they post something, the first comment is always, oh, thank God we finally have something back in the White House, a strong leader, or we finally have somebody with class. We finally have.
Yeah, you've got West Virginia to thank for that one. Remember that? Yeah. We're finally going to have a classy first lady.
Right.
Look, I got nothing against sex workers, people who, you know, exotic dancers, what have you. But the fact of the matter remains that we now have, and I've been kind of hammering on this for almost a year now, we have as our first lady, for the first time in the history of the Republic, a woman who took her clothes off in exchange for money.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying she's a
that
pole
we
dancer.
Know of. Yeah, there was a camera there. But I mean, we know that, but we don't know what else she did. I mean, for God's sakes, I don't want to say because I know she sues everybody. An escort.
But I mean, that's a damn fact. And right. and it's unassailable, because even these weirdos like that wall builders creep and Glenn Beck and the people who invent the, you know, like the, you know, invent the quote from Thomas Jefferson saying, I had a deep abiding personal relationship with my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, Thomas Jefferson. And you'll see it on a meme.
Right.
Some
I know.
Yeah, no, we don't have any historical allusions to like Dolly Madison taking her.
Right.
Her clothes off to be painted nude by that guy who did the unfinished portrait of George Washington.
It just doesn't exist. Like a canteen girl or something, you know, it's a frontier, you know.
Mary Todd Lincoln dressed as a naughty schoolgirl. It's not there. But this is the depths to which we've foundered. Speaking of women in holiday attire, I guess Ivanka showed up at some high school in Connecticut today, in Norwalk.
Oh, God.
And she's wearing her pilgrim dress.
Oh, no.
Now, you live in the home of high couture. well, you know, when it's not, you know, not Paris. But and this thing, you know, this dress probably cost more.
Oh, no, no. I'm looking. I just Googled it. Oh, Jesus.
You know, it's a plain black dress with a white Puritan collar and white Puritan sleeves.
Right. She looks like Wednesday Addams.
Oh, my God, yes. Wednesday Addams gone blonde.
Yeah. And she's got that sweet, non-offensive voice, that indoor girl voice. That's, you know, and that's what gets me, because you know that Trump and, you know, they train all his women to not be offensive and be very soft-spoken. And be a good girl.
Tara, I realize you're a performer, but you do that way too creepily well. Okay?
I know. It's so, oh, I hate them. I really need something.
Well, apparently it didn't sit too well with the parents because they pulled their kids out of class.
Oh, good. See, that's what has to happen.
They weren't told in advance that Precious Ivanka was going to be there.
Right. Is this a charter school? I bet. Is it right? Newark Early College Academy. Talk to students because they only go to charter schools. And in fact, she's been here in New York. There's this charter school uptown, and that is actually attached to a public school. So she's been there to the charter school. They don't go to the public school. They don't go walk 10 feet to the public school. And effing Paul Ryan, I hate.
And look here. Here's a 2024 campaign photo. It's Ivanka actually touching a black girl.
Wow. Well, you know, you see, they have some of their best attorneys are Jewish too. I hear.
One of our attorneys is a Jew.
I love the way that she said that. Like nah. Like you fake news. Some of our one of our attorneys is a Jew.
With that Southern accent, a Jew.
Right.
Like there's almost another syllable.
And who wrote? I mean, who taught that idiot to ride a horse? I know how to ride a horse better than that guy. I mean, I live in New York. I have ridden horses. I know how to ride a horse. That horse looked like. I mean, I wish he would have thrown him. But, I mean, he wasn't riding it properly. It was very bizarre.
Well, you know, Sassy's only about 14, so.
Right. He was bouncing all over the place. His heels were up in the air. I mean, it was like, but that.
Well,
know,
that's what usually happens when he's with a 14-year-old female.
Right. Well, that's true. Yeah.
Oh, we need to take this one on the road, Tara. By the way, you just got a note from Robert in Australia who said, I'm not laughing. I'm worried that every stupid thing that happens in the United States will be used as an excuse for doing it here in Oz. And that's the absolute truth. You know, we sneeze here and Australia gets Ebola.
Well, that's the thing, too. His stupidity is spreading. Well, even with when they had that slave auction, did you see that video?
Yes.
Where was it? It was in Libya, and the Libyan government said, "Oh, that's fake news." I mean, it's on tape. So
I know.
Okay. I mean, that's the Trump effect. It's nothing good is coming out of this. Well, the only thing good will be that people are so offended. That by the time Democrats get back in power, and I hope that we need both the House and the Senate filibuster.
I mean, it can happen. It can happen. And as the just about the only human being who predicted Doug Jones's victory back, you know, all the way back to September.
Wow.
I mean, I'm that guy. I'm prepared to say that. You know, everybody's talking about, Arizona, let's get rid of Heller in Nevada. People, you just opened up a fault line in the solid South.
Right.
Job one needs to be finding a credible challenger for the open seat immediately to the north of Alabama in Tennessee.
So there's an open seat?
Yeah, Corker.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Great. Yeah. And they need to get somebody who's homegrown and is authentic and, you know, not like Ossoff or whatever the hell. And then we might have a shot.
Yeah. I mean,
that would be amazing.
There's got to be a high profile. I mean, Tennessee, as compared to the rest of the South, you know, Atlanta notwithstanding. Tennessee has pockets of cosmopolitanism that probably would be shocking to a lot of people from places that are more cosmopolitan.
Well, that's good.
And
I mean, there's
not,
normal people everywhere.
Yeah, it is not outlandish to think that you might find somebody with some fairly high visibility in Tennessee who could run as a Democrat for that seat. And, you know, while we were talking about strokes, maybe give Mitch McConnell one.
That'd be great. Oh, my God. Him. I mean,
and
face.
And if that crack that opened in Alabama spreads up into Tennessee, well, anybody who's ever gotten a star in their windshield knows what happens when the cold weather comes.
Right.
And it runs all the way across the windshield.
Yeah. That would be great.
And that, this is just a little tiny radio program, but that effort needs to be undertaken. I have to tell you, Tara, that this has been a marvelous conversation. I've gotten email.
Oh my God.
Steve from Georgia Stan is there every Saturday night when you fire it up over at FYINation.com.
Thank you.
And Steve says to tell you hi, and he's a huge fan.
Oh, thank you, Steve.
Jack down in Shreveport just wrote and said, subject line, you and Tara, I've almost sprayed my coffee all over my keyboard several times tonight. So
awesome.
Yeah, that's a wonderful thing. Let's talk a little bit about what you do over at FYI Nation and when and how to listen and all of that.
Okay, great. Yeah, thank you. And I appreciate being on so long. No.
We can go. We could go the third hour too. But I mean, I don't want to do that to you. I don't want to do that to you. I mean, you know.
Well, I mean, I thought I'd be on for like 20 minutes. So no, but I'm not. It's not like I have. I'm very much enjoying this, and this has been great. So thank you. It's been a lot of fun, and I can't even believe it's been almost 2 hours. I'm just blown away. That's crazy, but. It's like good sex, you know what I mean? You look up, and you're like, what?
Hey, where'd that?
You've been at it for 5 hours.
Yeah, well, you know, I've been doing this in excess of 12 years now, and there are nights when you just turn the microphone on, and then you find yourself, now it's time to turn the microphone off. Where'd the 3 hours go? And these 2 hours have been like that. And you know, when you do what you do, it's just boom, 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 and the energy is palpable, and where'd it go?
Yeah.
Can't this go on for a few? It's like way back when long ago listening to Malloy, you know, you get to the end of hour number three, and Kathy would start fading up that sax music, and you're like, son of a bitch, already?
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Well, my show is an hour. It's on Saturday nights, and I mean, I might do another hour coming down the road. I don't have enough time in the day, really.
Well, you work for a living.
Yeah, and then I have the website and everything else and the show. And so, I mean, I'm trying to make it so I don't have to work, that my work is doing the website, you know, that would be awesome. But it's not there yet, you know. So, I mean, we have people working on it. And, Bob, you also contribute at times to, you know, writing articles and whatnot. So the site is RDT Daily. I started it used to be RepublicanDirtyTricks.com. I started it in 2009. It was just my thing because I was really annoying everybody with my political talk and in my personal life. And I just needed an outlet, too. Because it was the Bush years and it was getting pretty bad. So, but that website opened up so many doors for me. And I'm also a comedian, but my comedy is not really political. So if you saw my stand up, it's really just about my life and how it sucks and whatnot. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
It's not like a Stephen Colbert or whatever, who I love watching that because they can make it funny. And I am in the anger of this still. I haven't really gotten to the funny. I mean, make fun of them, obviously, but anyway, so I started that site and it started to kind of catch on, and I started the Facebook page with it. And now we have 130,000 followers and growing, and now a couple of other people work on the site, and you know, and I have the show on Saturday nights. So every Saturday night, if you're hanging around, we get together live at 7 p.m. Eastern at fyination.com and or we're on Facebook Live and YouTube at the RDT Daily YouTube channel. And we are replayed on Progressive Voices on Sundays or on the Progressive Voices app. And we also have this other network, GDPR Revolution. We're on that. So,
oh, I haven't
anyway,
heard of those guys.
Yeah, they it's I'm sure Thomas can would hook you up with them.
Okay.
You know, and it's very small. It's yeah. GDPR means Grateful Dead. So they're
oh, okay.
like a Grateful Dead station or whatever. But
I thought maybe it stood for goddamn pissant Republicans.
Right. It could, right? So it's like Grateful Dead something something. I mean, I should know these things, but I have too much going on. I'm stressed. So anyway, and that's really what I do. And I write articles and I'm working on the site. I mean, I really, and I love to do it, but it's also, I figure really with everything going on, you know, I also practice Buddhism. That's another thing. And thank God I do. Not God. Isn't that funny? Thank
yeah,
God I
yeah.
practice Buddhism, but God, so to speak, because I'd be a hell of a lot worse. And, but I could, and in Buddhism, you know, you pick your life. That's what they say. Who knows? I'll get back to you when I die, or maybe I won't.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But the, but you know, the you pick your lifetime. This is when I get really annoyed. I think, well, I picked it, and precisely because so much work needs to be done, and what else is there to do but leave this planet better than you found it and stand up for justice and stand up for what's right and leaving no one behind and making the world a better place for everything, everybody, humans, animals,
right,
know,
because, right because as apparently a whole lot of Republicans have not yet figured out, they don't pull U-Hauls behind hearses.
Right, exactly. You don't take it. That's why I always wonder with them, like, how much do you need? How many billions do you need while you're stepping over people who are worried about, who are cutting their pills in half because they can't afford their medication? What the hell is wrong with people? What is wrong with them? I mean, it really is. They're mentally ill. And there needs to be a paradigm shift where greed is not just this value. It seems like greed is the only American value now. You know, that's the only thing we fight for is greed, money, money at the top, money. Oh, businessmen and like Trump having all his cabinet.
What a fascinating concept, though, that at some point in time we pick this,
right?
Because you know, my wife is forever telling me that I. Yeah, because a lot. If you've ever noticed the people who are on to, you know, calling me now, are, you know,
uh-huh.
nobody was ever a peasant in a former life.
Mm-hmm, right.
but my wife will periodically go, "Yeah, you were a pharaoh."
Well, you might have been. Yeah, I don't know.
No,
I don't know.
You know, because no, it's trust me, it's in moments when she's being not fond of me. Does the pharaoh desire a peeled grape, asshole? But. but that's a fascinating, that is a fascinating concept, and you wonder if it is a learning curve. I just don't know. I don't know.
Right.
I have found it easiest just to be an agnostic of all forms of religion or non-religion, because you know it is the most classic example in all of human existence of damned if you do and damned if you don't.
Right. Exactly.
You know, it's like all these goddamn fundies who don't understand that they are, that by virtue of being believers in their upstanding mm-hmm. Bible believing God fearing Christ-centered evangelical fundamentalist amosexual religion, that they are atheists to every other religion.
Right, exactly. It's true. And the arrogance of that too. That's the thing that I think about Buddhism in general, and it's that we don't know really. You know, there's so many layers to life. And
I like the existential Zen stuff.
Yeah. You know, I hear you.
Early on, thanks to a friend of the program, Dr. John, he had this as his sig line on his mail for a number of years. And I tried to teach it to Ferg, whom you know, My God, mm-hmm. he will be 22 years old the day
oh
after Christmas.
Oh, my God. What?
Yeah, I know.
Well,
crazy.
That's funny. My birthday is 2 days after Christmas. So,
oh, cool.
Yeah.
Well, happy birthday.
Thank you.
But it was some sort of Zen saying that before enlightenment, gather firewood, carry water.
Mm.
After enlightenment, gather firewood, carry water.
Right, right. Well, there you go.
The basics of humanity don't mm-hmm. change just because you think you've got it, or because
right.
you know you've had samsara or whatever, and you've got it figured out.
Right, it's true, and that's the thing. Like, I used to practice Zen. There's different, you know, forms of Buddhism. Now I practice Nichiren Buddhism. It's sort of more my style, you know, chanting Nam-myoho Renge Kyo and whatnot.
I'm familiar.
Yeah. But because I used to practice Zen, and I would sit on a, you know, mat and meditate, and I never really got the same kind of results, quote unquote.
No, I tried the mat sitting, and I tried the meditating, it always worked out that the mantra of my meditation was, this mat's hurting my ass.
Right, exactly. That's what I would think, like, oh, and you can't scratch or itch your nose or whatever, And I mean, I've really practiced for years with a Zendo, with the monk and everything.
How cool.
No,
it must be so nice to live in civilization.
You have these options, you know. It's true. There's like, you know, you can want to practice Zen, go to a Zendo, you know.
Yeah, but see, here in Hillbilly Heaven, when we want to do something like that, we go in the woods with a gun, of course.
Right.
I've tried to pass these lessons along to the young Padawan, my son, and I've said, okay, because, you know, 22, 21 years old, girl troubles always. And I said, look, when you go squirrel hunting, if you get, and this is terrible, I'm not equating, you know, relationships with squirrel hunting, but yes, I am. When you go squirrel hunting, if you go stomping around in the woods looking for squirrels, you will never see one.
Right.
But if, on the other hand, you walk in like squirrels are the last thing on your mind and you just sit down on a fallen log somewhere and just, you know, and you just, you know, let the forest fill in back around you, you will be surrounded by squirrels.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's the... You know, that's the hillbilly meditation of the forest. But
right.
But I mean, you do. You know, I'm a fan of Bourdain, and so, you know, I see these I see the videos of him getting thrown around mats and stuff, and there are so many things, and this is political too, Tara.
Mm-hmm,
because
definitely
we became, you know, here in Appalachia, we became famous for how Trumpy we are.
Right.
And the fact of the matter is, Appalachia deserves better than it's gotten. But there's
right.
there's a strain within liberalism that says, yeah, and now when the shit hits the fan, we're all gonna laugh at you fucking hillbillies.
Right.
Not understanding that what's going on, like with this tax bill, nobody understands that this is the hillbillyization of America in this
right.
tax bill.
That's true.
What we are in Appalachia, they want for the rest of the country.
Oh yeah, yeah. That is the truth. They want us all down to the lowest common denominator. They want that UN report to be everywhere, where there's sewage going into the people's water and whatnot, because they don't have infrastructure and the poverty is just epidemic. That's what they want. Obviously they must want it because that's what we get, you know. That, and the other thing about Buddhism is cause and effect. You know, you don't have to be a psychic to predict the future. Just look at the causes you're making today, because in the cause that you, the action that you take, the effect is already manifesting. And when you strip healthcare from people, when you give money to the rich, when you and that's when I said that, I heard this right winger in my mind, how can you give money to the rich? They already have it. You know, it's like you're taking their money. No, you're not. You know, no billionaire gets rich by themselves. You know, we create the wealth. We create the society that creates the wealth. They drive their trucks on our roads. They use our workers, the people who can read the road signs because they were educated in our schools. I mean, they don't understand the interconnectedness of this of society, and that's why the entire Republican philosophy is a fallacy, because there are no rugged individuals. That's bullshit. We're all interdependent, and you know, let them go and live on a friggin' desert island if they're so rugged.
In any primate culture, the exiled or expelled or the lone, you know, the lone wolf. Okay, the lone wolf is a lone wolf because the lone wolf has been expelled from the pack.
That's
because
right.
It cannot behave in a fashion that is conducive to the pack's continued survival.
That's right.
So
this
libertarian fascination with the lone wolf.
Oh God, I know.
It is in fact a suicidal ideation.
And it's bullshit too. It's like the worst you could do to somebody would torture them is put them in solitary confinement. That's because we were wired to be interdependent, and that's how we were made by the goddess of nature, the goddess of market. You know, the market may say, you're in it. That altruism is evil, but the goddess of nature says we're in this together, and it's all over the place. And that's what I can't stand about these effing Republicans. They're so full of shit. Go away then. Go live in libertarian somewhere, a paradise of your own. If you're such an individual, why do you need us? Why do you need society? Why do you need the rest of humanity? You know, take your stupid money and go count it somewhere on a desert island. I mean, why are you here then? Because we're nothing but hosts for them.
Without a doubt. You know, come on to West Virginia. We got lots of open land. I mean, granted, mm-hmm. it's all uphill and down. It's all slope. But you know, come here. We got people here who love you. Quit this bullshit of living where hardworking people are trying to build a decent life. You know, leave New York City. Leave California. Leave Oregon. Leave Washington. Right. Hell, leave Texas. Come to Appalachia. Live like you want. Live like you say you want to live.
Right, exactly. They don't. They're just because they're
no. They want. They want the. They want all the benefits of classic liberalism.
Right. That's right.
But they only want it for themselves.
Yeah, and they want none of the responsibility. And that even goes for the average Joe who votes for these idiots. I mean, you've seen these different exposés of there was something on Dateline once or whatever, one of these NBC shows where they had it was before Trump, and they were like, oh, a family had fallen on hard times and they're on welfare now and they're voting Republican, and they're like, yeah, I don't believe in I believe in pulling yourself up by your bootstraps, but they're getting food stamps, there was a gas voucher.
Was it Nancy Pelosi's daughter? Is her name Alexandra? And she went down to Mississippi and she found the guy living in a shack. And they always find the poor white living in a shack, toothless, and he was a hoarder and just had shit piled up all over the place. And said, well, I'm gonna vote for Trump because. I might be rich someday.
Right, exactly. That's right. They're the temporarily embarrassed millionaires.
Ta-da!
Well, now billionaires.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. But because they've been so conditioned by this Fox News right wing culture now, as much as bullshit as it is, that you know, it's if you're there's something called the deserving and undeserving poor, and that whole thing is that's a ruse too to keep people divided. It's another way of keeping people fighting amongst themselves. If the fact is the people who need welfare, a lot of the people who are poor, they work harder than any of these Donald Trump Jr. assholes would ever work in their entire lifetime or 10 lifetimes.
Being poor is hard work.
Exactly. So everything that they talk about is they're just full of shit. And so then they'll come out and they vilify poor people, and they make it such a stigma, a shame that, oh, the people who take this food stamps or whatever, oh, that they're so embarrassed. They're so embarrassed that they can't even admit that, you know, maybe being a Republican is not in their best interest, because in their heart, this one guy was like, yes, I'm still a Republican. And, you know, I don't believe people. I think that people are taking advantage. You can't take advantage of something that is a pittance. You know, like, I don't really care if somebody gets an extra $64 in their welfare check that they don't deserve somehow, because that money is going right back into the economy, you fools. And it's what keeps things going, you know. But they don't seem to have a problem with the undeserving rich, though. You know, I mean,
You know what? The Trumps are not there aren't enough of them, Tara. Two, they're not the ones that are keeping Walmart afloat.
Right.
Now, Walmart is the single largest employer in the United States, I think, unless numbers have changed. Mm-hmm. And Walmart is not surviving. Walmart is not thriving.
Right. Because people don't have money. Yeah.
Well, no, they're not thriving on Ivanka needing to run down to Wally World for a 40-pound bag of Old Roy dog food.
Right, exactly. I mean, it's just the ruse has been cleverly, you know, it was like when I think about my father, because like we were talking about, he benefited from all the New Deal policies from unions right on up, you know, for everything that great prosperity, you know, that 40 years. And I think that, you know, he was a victim of Fox News and Rush Limbaugh. He was drive up to Atlantic City. He'd like to go to Atlantic City sometimes, and, you know, in his car, listen, always freaking Rush Limbaugh on. And into his ear, you know, they're singing the siren song about how some people are taking advantage. But it was always like the black people, brown people taking advantage. But not the rich. And the thing that you know, the people from after the Great Depression, at least they knew who they were up against. Like, they understood that about organized money was just as dangerous as organized mob. But now these people think that Donald Trump is going to meet them for a beer. George Bush is going to meet them that they're really the same. They would much rather consider themselves like a pal of Donald Trump than somebody who's of a different color, who's in the same boat. And it's so pathetic and that's why, you know, unless we heal our racial divide, we're in trouble. You know, the good thing about the Democratic Party is that we're at least, you know, we are diverse.
And of course, that's the $64 million question, you know, healing the racial divide.
Right.
Because there's this idea of compromise that's a thread that runs through the American experience.
Mm-hmm.
And poor people in America and the black community writ large in America don't have anything left to compromise with. Now, that's not me. Now, I'm not pulling the Trump and saying, oh, they're hell holes where the blacks live. No. I'm saying that there's nothing left to compromise with. There's nothing left to give. Okay, it's all been taken,
right?
And the voting shenanigans, and
yeah,
you know, if we're gonna take back the Congress in 2018, the first thing that the people who don't go and vote have to understand, what we have to make clear is that, if that's going to happen, because of the way the system is rigged, because of the gerrymandering,
of congressional districts and state legislative districts, if that's going to happen, then people are going to have to vote in overwhelming numbers.
Right. That's
and,
it.
And that, yeah. That means the millennials are going to have to come out in overwhelming numbers. That means, and when I say millennials, I mean young white folks, young black
right.
folks, Asian folks, Latinos. I don't care. If you're under 40, you better goddamn vote.
Right.
And
right.
And we have to be aware of the vote suppressing tactics of which the right wing and the Republican Party are past masters, and we have to figure out a way to overcome those.
Yes, and right now people should be really trying to do everything they can, and we can, to help each other accomplish this, to secure and make sure that they are on the voting rolls. And but I don't know if you saw in Alabama, there were black people reporting that they went to their polling place and they had always been on the rolls and they were not on it anymore. So they were doing their dirty tricks.
Yeah, even though they had voted in the last election.
Right, exactly. And they showed up and boom, they weren't on the rolls anymore. And that's not a coincidence. It's not an accident because, you know, like I always say on my show, that Republicans hate democracy. That's the overriding theme. And we need to really understand that. That's what we're up against. They don't like democracy. They know them by their fruits. They are rebuilding American aristocracy. They're stopping people from voting. They are concentrating wealth into the hands of a few. And we know you can't have money concentrated in the hands of a few and democracy at the same time. You can't have intergenerational aristocracy and democracy. I mean, those two things don't coexist. And so, and all the time diminishing the power of the people, the power to form unions, the power to, I mean, I don't understand how they could even get away with that, to stop unions from collecting dues and whatnot. It's such an assault on everything that all those people in Arlington National Cemetery, the people in overseas, in Normandy and all that, they all died to protect the people that sat on the bus like Rosa Parks and didn't get up in the face of injustice. I mean, that's courage. And we're going to need that kind of courage to stand up to these fascist bastards. And we can't kid ourselves. Like we say, they want it all. They want it all. And they're coming for it. But we have to meet it with just as much fury and indignation. So, when you have these senators, you see all these people. The thing that's good is their people aren't forgetting. They're going to the Senate. They're laying down. They're laying down in front of these bastards' offices. That can't stop. And they're getting arrested. And it's going to have to, you know, continue everywhere they go. You know, there's so many setbacks, but, you know, if we give up, we will never
and,
win.
And if Trump is stupid enough to fire Bob Mueller, I mean, I don't know who's in charge of this, but there better, by God, be 100,000
right.
people in the streets in Washington, D.C.
And I think there will, because I already signed up. There was an alert thing on my phone. Maybe it was Move On sent it out. To sign up if Trump fires Mueller, that they will tweet, you know, or text you immediately and for a immediate action to get into the streets. I mean, that's what we need. I wish we had a general strike here, man. I mean, that's what we really need too with this tax bill. Could you imagine that if we had a general strike, if everything just shut the hell down? But that wouldn't happen because we're too divided. This country is too damn divided.
Well, we're too divided, and the economic deck is stacked against it.
Right, exactly. People can't. They don't go to work. They don't get paid, and
in right to work states, you can be fired for any reason or no reason.
That's right. That's right. And there you go. I mean, that's the kind of America. That's not freedom. I mean, it's I was working at this place, and I don't know if I was if I told you the story. And I'm a freelancer, so I work freelance, different jobs and whatnot in television, basically. And I was working at this network, major network or whatever, and as a freelancer. But they also had staff there, and when I was working there, they fired everybody. They fired the entire staff, and they brought them all into a room, the staff. They said, look, you're all fired, but you can come back tomorrow as freelancers. That's what they did. The entire staff made them free. I'm talking about a giant network that everybody knows. I probably won't say whatever. I don't know why.
I can guess, but I won't.
Yeah. And they had, well, I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't say, but I couldn't believe it. And people were crying. And, you know, you talk about people that had benefits. People had been there 20 years and whatnot. They had all kinds of benefits, days off, vacation. Now you get nothing. You have the privilege of coming to work every day, and that's it.
Yeah,
and
the Uberization of a formerly respectable industry.
Right. Right. And they told them, this is your rate. There's not, it's non-negotiable. Take it or leave it. I couldn't even believe it. And I was in the bathroom. I was like really upset. And one of the managers was like, why are you upset? It doesn't affect you. And I was like, well, it affects all these people. And this is awful. But that's the attitude of why are you, it doesn't affect you. Of course it affects me. And then I was saying to a friend of mine who's from France, and I told him the story, and he said that would never happen in France, because if they tried to do that in France, that everything would shut down.
Right.
Yeah.
And by the way, and that's true. Two things about France, real quick. Did you catch the story where France is now going to become a haven for American climate researchers?
Yes.
Whose work has become forbidden.
Yep, yep.
And secondly, France now says that they will be the first nation to outlaw the production of all hydrocarbons.
Wow, great. Good for them.
Yeah.
I mean, it's got to start somewhere, but it just goes to show you how far we have fallen. I mean, it's pretty bad. What Trump is doing is turning us into a Russian-style oligarchy, like, you know, like Putin.
Imagine that.
Right. And that's what he wants. And they'll, of course, you know, the oligarchs will be making a lot of money, and everybody else, oh, well, you go, you know, if you have a job, good for you. Otherwise, you know, like I said, drive an Uber or whatever, but you're on your own. And now the American dream would be, and it is now, they have changed the definition of the American dream. Used to be everybody deserves a decent middle class life. That was your American birthright. Now it's, oh, maybe you'll be a billionaire too. And then you don't have to worry about people. Oh, what do you care? It doesn't affect you, right? I mean, that what kind of mentality? I don't even get it either, because they're always lauding the first responders, people running into the building when it's on fire and whatnot. But these people are leaving everybody behind. So how are they patriots? Because you can't be a patriot and turn your back on people in your country. So, I mean, that's why, I guess, they have to keep people divided, you know, along racial lines. It's anyway, the Republicans, they get me. So they're so aggravating, just the regular Republican, because they're so stupid, because they fall for the oldest tricks in the book constantly. And but what it's almost like you can't even blame them, because they're not.
Well, I mean, it's really tough for me, because like I've said a couple of times, things are a little bit different between you and me. You can walk down a sidewalk in Queens or Manhattan or any of the boroughs, and you don't necessarily feel like there goes a Trumpansy. There goes a Trumpansy.
Right.
There goes
an
idiot. There goes an idiot.
Right.
I don't.
It's true.
I don't have that luxury.
Right.
Tara, I live in a place where, when I go to the grocery store, there's a more than even chance that I will go by someone or stand behind someone in line or have someone standing behind me with a pistol on their hip.
Right. Right. Which is sad. I mean, I don't know. I always say my old granny, my old Irish granny was able to go grocery shopping without her AK-47, so...
Well, no, I mean, I'm just of the opinion that if you can't go down to Wally World for a gallon of milk and a loaf of bread without a peacemaker on your hip, you're a chicken shit.
Yeah, you're a coward, and that I mean, there's a whole other thing. That's Republicanism in a nutshell. They're fear based. It's like the perfect storm of fear, you know, with the large amygdala fear, you know, fear of other. Fear of the scary complex world.
The triumph of the lizard brain.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, maybe that was necessary when we were living hunter-gatherers where we were like, hey, what was that? You know, what was that noise in the woods? What was that saber-toothed tiger or whatever? But not anymore. Not in this small world. And it's really pathetic because it's such a big, beautiful world, too, with so many interesting things and so amazing, really, too. But
I know. I mean, I get, you know, blew it. See what happens?
Right.
There's so much to this life and there's so little to this life. I'm jealous and pissed off at sea turtles and parrots. Okay,
because right.
You know they get hundred. You know, turtles get 500 year lifespans.
I know.
Right. What do they do with it?
They just sit in the water.
And you know maybe that's the answer. You know,
right.
Kurt Vonnegut said at the end of his life, "I've reached the conclusion that we were all put here to dance." And damn it, babies, you've got to be kind.
Right.
And maybe that is the key. But, you know, there's a world out there to see and to experience and to live it. And instead to this one finite little experience to spend it being afraid of stuff.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Being afraid of other people, other cultures, and I mean, that's what's so sad.
Picky. You know, I'm what they used to call a foodie. Picky people drive me batshit.
Mm-hmm.
Really? You're not going to eat that because Mama didn't give it to you on a Zwieback
right.
when you were
like,
two?
Like Trump with his eating. I mean, come on. He goes to Japan, and apparently he ate like a burger with the same shit he eats every effing day. I mean, this guy he's a dullard.
Yeah, I was in Germany a few years ago, and they said, you know, we Germans love all kinds of food from all over the world. How about you? And I said, I absolutely do. Well, what would you like to eat, Bob? I said, German food.
Right.
And they said, oh, nobody eats German food. Well, I don't have German restaurants at home.
You want to experience it.
Bring the Spätzle and the Rouladen and the Sauerbraten and the Kraut and bring it all.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's the truth. This is the world. I mean, to want everybody to be the same, you know, it's so pathetic. And what is so great about that? What, you know, it's like the beatings will continue until
morale improves. Yes.
Until you, and that's what it's, they talk about, I mean, they're just so full of shit. It's like they talk about the rugged individual, right? As we were saying, but just try it. Just try being an individual in the Republican Party and they'll show you something, right? I mean, they have absolutely no respect for, and that's why you could just throw a rock at the Republican, you know, randomly in the Republican convention and hit some closet case, you know, or whatever, who just needs the arms of a big, strong man around him, really. But they're so sick. And I always say I wish that they would get help for their manias rather than inflict them on people. Because I don't understand what – I guess they're overcompensating because they're so so tormented or whatever. That's why they need constant. They're such gluttons, you know, with this, you know, these billionaires. You know, I don't know if I can't remember exactly. It was this. I was reading this article about Trump, and they one of the people that wrote an article on him. It wasn't the guy who Ghost wrote Honor the Deal. I think it was like they were doing a Vanity Fair expose on him, and this guy was interviewing him. This was before he was president, and asked him if there was any. He goes, I always ask this question of the people that I interview because it gives me insight into who they are. And he asked him what if there was anybody living or dead in history that you could speak with, who would it be? And he didn't understand the question. He was like, huh? What do you mean? Anybody I could speak with? Anybody I wanted to be with? And the guy was like, yeah, anybody that you, throughout time, who would you want to hang out with? Who would you want to spend time with? And you know what he said? A nice piece of ass. I kid you not.
See, I was going to go with Catherine the Great. I figured him, but he's too dim to know who
he didn't
or why.
Understand. Right, but clearly, who would you want to spend time with?
Okay, so nice piece of ass, and he can't come up with Cleopatra.
Right. That's who this effing jerk-off is. I mean, he is a disgrace. He's an idiot. He's an unbelievable, epic idiot.
But again, it exists, Tara, on a continuum, because I remember in the reign of error when Dim Leader,
right,
whom our mutual hero Mike refers to as Raisin Brain, they asked him, who's your favorite philosopher? And he said, Jesus Christ.
Right.
Well, you know, Jesus wasn't a philosopher.
Right.
You know, one. But I love little games like that, because it's usually, if you could sit down to dinner with three people from history, who would it be?
Right.
And
a nice piece of ass, her sister, and
and her mother,
and her MILF mother.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Jesus Christ. You know, we're so screwed, Tara. That's the other question. If everything got all right tomorrow, it's kind of like, you know, when a tornado roars through a trailer park in the South.
Mm-hmm.
It tears hell out of everything for 5 minutes. And then there's 10 years of rebuilding.
Yeah, and then the people will forget. That's the other thing. They will forget. There'll be another generation that comes along that will forget just how bad it was. And they will vote for conservatives again. And the cycle will continue. Unless, honestly, they really screw us royally and we end up with like 2,000 years of intergenerational aristocracy again, which could happen. Because you see, the entire world is going towards authoritarianism. Because America used to be, at least on paper, we would defend freedom, human rights, democracy. Now it's... he's calling up Duterte and saying, good job. You know, good job murdering people in the streets and taking cues from, what's the guy in Turkey? I can't remember.
Oh, Erdogan.
Yeah. I mean, this is, it's so alarming. And here we have Republicans, you know, ramming through a tax bill because they're greedy fuckers. And I mean, the thing that I think of too is, so people who have health care now that are going to lose it. Now, let's say you're a father and your daughter or son, you know, you have a child who's really sick. Finally, you know, they're getting health care or whatever. And these mother effers, you know, are going to strip health care from somebody, some vulnerable person. I mean, I wonder. It, like, some people will be pushed to the limit, frankly, and we'll see. That's why, you know, you saw that Steve Scalise get shot. I'm not saying, you know, go shoot somebody, but I think that people are going to get pushed And
but the sad thing about Steve Scalise is he learned
nothing
from
exactly.
it.
Exactly. He said they asked him, "Did you learn anything?" He said, "No." He's proud. Well, that's conservatism in a nutshell.
No, I learned nothing. I'm still a
piece of shit.
I'm still a Klan sympathizer.
I'll
happily take any money that the NRA wants to give to me.
I'll happily vote to strip other people of the same chance at life that I so gratefully took
because
from
Jesus.
The American taxpayer.
Because Jesus.
As he was crawling on the ground of this baseball field, apparently bleeding, and saying his life was flashing before his eyes. I mean, obviously, it's you would think some people might have that Lee Atwater kind of experience where Lee Atwater called up everybody that he harmed, begged them to forgive him for all the damage he had done. And, how come, this is the other thing. I think you never hear of liberals, of Democrats, having to call people to say, you know what, I'm really sorry for all the damage I did, destroying American democracy, destroying your chance at whatever, life, education, peace. I mean, these people are—they're really what's wrong, really, with the body politic. That's why
what are they going to do? Call up Bill Gates and say, "Gee, I'm sorry if I kept you from getting to be as rich as you felt like you deserved to be."
Right. You know, I mean, for you always have Republicans having to have these, deathbed. Oh shit, I'm going
well, that's
to hell.
Because that's because they hear the fluttering bat wings and if you believe in that sort of thing, the flames licking at their little tootsies.
Oh, I know. It's like the friggin' Borgias, That's what I always thought when you were saying that Trump was going to have a stroke. I wish it would happen with the Borgia. I just watched this whole Borgia thing on and not on Showtime. They had the one the CBC did. The Borgias, it was great.
Ooh,
yeah, it's like 4 years of, there's four seasons or something, but there's like 36 episodes.
Oh, you've turned me on to a lot of good TV over the years.
It's on Netflix. It's really good. You should watch it.
And
it's historically pretty accurate, more than the Showtime one, obviously, but.
I tried a couple of those. I tried the Tudors, and it was like, no, sorry.
The Tudors is I like the Tudors, but it, only because I like, it's just fun. It's just like bubble gum.
Oh no, that's like Agnes and me. I mentioned last night. We started out watching Outlander for the Scottishness of it.
Yes, and I the same thing.
And
I
now
watched
it's just turned. It's now it's just turned into outlandish.
Right. It's kind of I liked it the first season of Outlander. I still watch it. But
have you gotten all the way to the season finale this season?
Yeah, now they're in the new world or whatever.
Yeah, so you got the Ivanka rising from a pool of goat's blood.
Yeah,
reference.
What the hell was that? Yeah. Oh yeah, that's right. I thought of that when you said that, but then I didn't know that you were referring to Outlander. Yeah. That's true. I should have mention it because a lot of people watch that show, apparently. I don't know. I just started watching it recently. Sometimes I do. I like to be taken. I love historical type.
I'm a total sucker for it.
I mean, as you know, we share the same. Anything that's set in another time, I love. And I don't really like. I mean, I do watch other, obviously, things that are set in contemporary time, but I really enjoy other times because I like to I love history, and I think it's I was thinking to myself, why do I love this so much? Because even in my free time I listen to books on tape all the time and about history and all different times,
right?
But
I gotta ask you, have you ever read Barbara Tuchman's book, A Distant Mirror?
No.
Oh, Tara, own that book. I mean, it's old now, but my God, you know, this is the one. This is the woman who wrote, you know, The Guns of August.
Okay.
About the beginnings of World War One. This is an examination of the 14th century.
Oh my God, that's.
And she is an exhausted.
I almost orgasmed.
Yeah, I know. That's happens to me too. She's an exhaustive researcher. She is meticulous in her facts. And the reason she called it a distant mirror is, you know, that's the plague century.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
And it's a distant mirror of our own. She considered it the 14th century,
cool.
A distant mirror of our own time.
Of our own. See, I'm actually going to.
I gotta pitch something else to you too, because, I remember the Bill Hicks routine where he said he was in the Waffle House and he was reading a book and the waitress came by and said, "What you reading for?"
That's good.
And the,
what do you think? You're better than me.
And the guy and the guy that was sitting at the counter said, "Looks like we got us a Rita." But I had the author on a couple of weeks ago. He's a personal friend of mine, Jeff Biggers, and he has written a book that will absolutely grab you and drag you through it. It's called The Trials of a Scold.
Mm.
And it's the story, and by the time you're done with it, she will be your hero.
Oh,
because,
cool.
Because it's the incredible true story of writer Anne Royal.
Okay, yeah.
And she was America's first blogger.
Oh, wow.
She was the driving force behind federal funding for the newfangled telegraph device.
Oh, wow.
And she was tormented by the religious maniacs in the United States to the point that in 1829 she was actually tried in Washington, D.C. as a public scold with the intentions of dunking her in the Potomac River, which would have killed her. You know, she's 50 years old. And
wow.
she traveled the country, and she's been lost to history. It's called The Trials of a Scold. If you read it, you will absolutely be blown away, and you'll close the book saying, "My God, why hasn't some production company optioned this thing?"
Right. Well, maybe they will.
Oh,
this book is out.
I mean, it's amazing. And I think it's out there as an audiobook too. I'm not sure, but if it isn't, it's worth just having the physical book or whatever.
I'm buying it.
I promise you will not message me back and say, you know, you're a lying jackass.
No,
I hated the book.
Not.
No, you will love this thing. And hey, with time running out, just a couple of other things. One, I just want to remind people that your show comes around on FYINation.com Saturday evenings at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, which would be 4 p.m. Pacific.
Yes.
And it is replayed on Progressive Voices on Sunday at what? At when?
6 p.m. Eastern. And then you can also get it on the app, too, on their Progressive Voices app. But after all the back issues, but they start at 6 p.m. Like they'll play the Saturday show starting at 6 on Sunday Eastern. And also, you know, we do a Facebook Live as well. It's recorded live, so with video as well on Facebook. But if you're listening on audio, it's on FYI Nation and at YouTube and, you know, all those places. So
this conversation had to happen because it was months ago now that you and I just sort of briefly overlapped on one of Thomas's programs.
Right.
And you and I got going and just about took over the program to the point I said, you know, I better hang up or this is not going to work out well.
I know.
But I've known that this would happen whenever the opportunity arose for us to have this conversation. And just one other little thing to toss out there. It's still in the works. It'll be a bit of an adventure. Pull together, but I have plans for a little mini. I'm calling it a little mini horn-in in New York.
Oh, cool!
In mid February.
All right, I'm there.
And hopefully we'll get some of the horn and FYI Nation and
absolutely
Progressive Voices
that'd be
fans
awesome.
together.
That's amazing.
You know, at some and I'll lean on you for your expertise at finding an appropriate dive or something like that for us to congregate in.
We did that thing with Mike Malloy at the where was that? I had to do the commercial for it. I can't remember. It was the I'll look it up. But it was yeah, it was in the basement of it was a nice little bar. They sold some food too, and it was great. Yeah, but it doesn't have to be there. We can do it other place. Well,
I think it'll be fun, and as we get closer, maybe you and I can flesh out some details and.
Yeah, definitely. That'll be awesome.
I think it would be an absolute blast, as have been the last couple of hours, Tara.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Oh my God!
You know, we've only been chatting back and forth and. And meeting up at Radio Rose in D.C. and protests and whatnot for, God, how many years now?
Many. I don't even know. It's been a long time. And but it's so amazing, like, how time flies. It's crazy.
And I will be forever in your debt for you coming to my rescue at in my frozen February trip to. It was September or October of a year or so ago.
But it was cold.
It was cool, yeah. And you showing me around a little bit of New York after.
And we went to Katz's Deli.
That's it right there. Oh my God.
Yeah, that was amazing.
Oh God, Katz's Deli.
I knew you would love it.
Oh, you were so right.
That's in your element, man. You know.
Oh, that is. I mean. And goddamn, that matzo ball the size of a softball, son of a gun!
It was great.
Yeah, it was wonderful. Right. And hopefully, we'll have some kind of fun of a similar nature. In like I said, mid February. But thank you so much, Tara. This has been a delightful conversation.
Thank you so much, and thanks everybody. Really, it was great. I hope they don't mind me. I just took over the show. Not took over, but I was on the whole damn show. So I hope
No. Don't feel bad at all. I hope I didn't infringe upon your time.
Oh no!
Because what we do here, you know, we call it conversation radio instead of talk radio, because this is what it's designed for.
Right.
You know, just fleshing things out and working the corners and seeing where ideas take us.
Yeah.
And this has been a magnificent example of that.
Right.
And finally, rdtdaily.com.
Yes. Thank you.
And RDT.
Facebook page. And we'll hook up our Facebook pages. And I also, if people want to write for RDT Daily, We need writers, we need contributors, so people can, you know, I mean, there's really no money in it right now. It's kind of, we're building, but there will be if you want to get in and you have something to say. Instead of writing on your Facebook feed, come and write for us and we will, you know, you'll have an opportunity to, but we do pay people, but the fact is we don't have a lot of page views right now, so it's not going to be a lot of money, you know what I mean? So there'll be, it's like... It's maybe you get a cup of coffee here and there, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
right.
It's
exactly.
That's right. But I also have one. I know we're running out, but the one thing, because we were talking about history, I just wanted to finish up and say that the reason I love history is because it reminds me that you know, how short life is, and not in a morose way, but just that we have so much work that we need to do, and you know, while we're here, that's why, you know, I stay motivated, because it's only temporary, and you know, we have an obligation, I think, to seize this moment. You know.
Yeah, this ain't dress rehearsal.
Right. And they're gonna look back. The people in the future will look back on us and the work that we did, and at least they will know that we were fighting for a better world. And I think that's, you know, that's what keeps me going.
Same here, and in many ways, I've said in the past that, you know, we archive this program, of course, and try to put it in lots of different places, because in many ways, again, back to the classical reference, I think of the correspondence between Cicero and Atticus, and when those letters were discovered, we found out so much more about the classical world than we had known before.
Right.
And I'm not putting myself on a par with Cicero, and I don't even agree with him politically.
Right.
But He was an insufferable prick.
Well, he was
Whereas Caesar was a
popularity.
Exactly. But you know, this is in many ways, I'm hoping that these little recordings, for whatever they are, for whatever they're worth, will survive as a kind of a time capsule, and you know, maybe even a little bit of a love letter to the future, if there's going to be one.
Exactly.
That we were out here and we were trying, and not everybody, and you know, not the entire country was a bunch of greed-headed, grubbing
grifters.
Yeah, grifters. There we go. Exactly. So I think you and I are very much on the same page in that regard.
Yes.
Tara.
Yes.
And there's tons more to talk about as the days, weeks, and months go by. Like I said, the door is always open here, and you're welcome to drop by in any time that you just feel like, you know, your hair's about to spontaneously combust or something like
that.
I will.
Thank you.
And my best to your feline friends.
Oh, thank you. Tara Jr. Jr. and Francis Jr. Jr. You can go on the RDT Daily Facebook page and see a picture of Francis.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, he's our mascot. So,
very nice, very nice.
Anyway.
And we will talk soon. And in fact,
all right,
I've got an idea for a way to sort of stick a finger in the National Rifle Association's eye that might speak to you and maybe if there's somebody with some awesome graphic design talents, maybe get something going. But Tara Devlin, again, thank you so very much. I hope people will go over and drive the page views up at rdtdaily.com.
Yeah, thank you.
And let's talk again soon.
All right. I'll talk to you later, Bob.
All right.
Thanks,
later, Tara.
Guys.
Bye
See
now.
You soon. Bye-bye.
I told you she was the one and only. I told you she was irrepressible. I told you that she was incomparable. And now you have the proof of it. So, yeah, really, where'd the program go? But, you know, in a way, this was the perfect Titanic Tuesday, because we hit just about all the Titanic high water hot spots, high water marks, whatever. And it was, that was something. Now, the downside of that is that, or not the downside, it's not the downside at all, but here's how it all shook out. I get into one of these conversations, I'm not going to break into it to fundraise or anything like that. But we started the program with, what was it? $396 to go. That was $200 for tonight and $196 left over. $296. I get lost. $200 for tonight and $96 left to go. Well, I want to send out very special thanks to Steve and Ms. Karen and Little Cletus and Little Twiggy. Little Cletus ran out into the yard in the rain and dug into her secret bone stash. So now that takes us down to $286, and that's where we find ourselves. So tomorrow it's going to be a hell of a plate passing at $486, or maybe it'll be $466 or $446. I really don't know from one night to the next with what the overnight crew does. So if you're listening to this as a podcast or, you know, later on, understand that's where we are. And it would be nice to, and I know it's the holiday season and it's hard and I'm sorry and I hate it and it sucks. But that's where we are keeping up with fundraising as we try to finish out the calendar year of 2017 and lick the Lithuanian, nudge the Norsky, and cash the check one more time. So thanks, everybody. Thanks to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever way you choose. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky and Steve from Georgia Stan in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, John Fox and Ben Birch. Thank you to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Good night, y'all.